Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Central Coast for KSBW, and you can look at their website at ksbw.com. Thank you so much for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Look at your labels and stay tuned.
The program you have just enjoyed is a previously recorded broadcast.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Stocks were up and then down again, much like we've seen over the past 2 weeks.
Well, you had the market go from, you know, kind of despair to exuberance, then back to being in a grumpy mood.
Marilyn Cohen of Envision Capital Management will be glad when the market settles. The Dow finished today 127 points lower. CBS News reporter Alexis Christophorus at the New York Stock Exchange says there were some encouraging signs.
We did have better than expected earnings from Google, so that helped the tech sector a little bit. And Warren Buffett is now saying he is out there buying American companies and is recommending that other people do the same thing.
There were also reports, though, that construction of new homes off at its lowest level since 1991 and consumer confidence has dropped again. Barack Obama picked up a number of newspaper endorsements today from the Washington Post, LA Times, and the Chicago Tribune. CBS News senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield.
The Chicago Tribune has never in its entire history endorsed Democrat. They backed Horace Greeley in 1872, an independent, also a newspaper owner, by the way. And they backed Teddy Roosevelt in 1912 when he ran as a bull moose progressive Republican. They've never, ever backed a Democrat.
The Tribune says it likes John McCain but thinks the Republican Party has lost its way and abandoned its principles. The government says some uniforms and badges worn by airport security workers may be missing. A review by the Homeland Security Department's Inspector General found that 5 airports across the country, the TSA wasn't doing enough to keep tabs on uniforms, particularly after an employee left the job. NASA is putting off repairs to the Hubble Space Telescope after a glitch. CBS News correspondent Peter King has that.
The problems came up as engineers were starting a backup command and data handling system. The glitches involved incorrect voltage readings and a computer signal loss.
The operations team is working diligently to understand the cause and options for proceeding.
NASA astrophysics manager John Morris says the agency is optimistic it'll be able to get Hubble up and running again.
But even these best laid plans can encounter some unanticipated difficulty.
For now, the Hubble scientific instruments are in safe mode while engineers try to figure out exactly what happened and how to fix it. The original failure scrubbed a planned shuttle servicing mission that was to have flown this week. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Tina Fey does a great job, but Sarah Palin says she will play herself on Saturday Night Live this weekend.
It'll be fun. You know, the opportunity to show American television watchers anyway that, you know, you got to have a sense of humor through all of this.
What we don't know yet is whether Palin and Fey, who's been portraying her, will appear together on the show. His was one of the most well-known voices of the Motown era. Levi Stubbs, the lead singer for the Four Tops, has died. He was 72. His death leaves only one surviving member of the original group. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Wallet.
Dow.
Are we at the gas station now?
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling these gas prices, too.
I'm the wallet down here. Head to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
Why?
Proper vehicle maintenance. A new air filter can save 41 cents a gallon. Correct tire inflation up to 12 cents a gallon.
Wow, that sure adds up.
Fat wallets are very in right now.
Ask for the Works Fuel Saver package at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer and get fuel saving details at genuineservice.com.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
A very popular pair have gone missing in Cedar Creek, Texas.
We believe that our 3-year-old camel, Moses, and his best friend, our 25-year-old Welsh Shetland cross pony, have been taken, removed from the zoo's front pasture.
Moses and Coco vanished Tuesday night.
They would have been very easy to take. Moses was bottle-raised, that's the camel, and extremely tame. He was what we call one of our animal ambassadors. He had went to hundreds of schools, school carnivals and special events, meeting people, and he loved everybody.
Michael Hicks of Capital Zoo thinks the pair may have been nabbed to put Moses in a show. A $400 reward has been offered for his return, along with Coco. A Utah woman who once went to jail for failing to keep up her lawn is now homeless. Betty Perry, a victim of the economy, her home was foreclosed. And a 70-year-old has now left that state with its landscape policy that had her fined $100 for not watering her lawn. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Leaving a mark at Martinsville means muscles, moxie, and maybe a miracle or two. It's maneuvering through a mammoth maze of mighty machines, a marathon of mixing it up. Drivers would have to be magicians to make it a Monday in mint condition. Make no mistake, though. Getting massively mashed, mauled, and manhandled is no metaphor here in Martinsville.
The chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup continues at Martinsville, Sunday at 1 Eastern on ABC.
October is Century 21 Open House Month. To celebrate, we attempted to contact the guy who decides what holidays go on calendars. After months of research, it turns out no such person exists. In any event, October is still Open House Month. Just mark your own calendars. Go to century21.com, your local Century 21 office, or call 800-C21-GOLD and let our agents put you on the path home. Century 21, the gold standard. Century 21 Real Estate LLC, a Realogy company. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast. Yes, I know this is not Peter's wonderful voice. He's taken a well-deserved day off after being in Motown this week, and he's allowed me the honor to hang out with you for the next 3 hours. I'm Stephanie Hendricks, and I want to hear what you have to say and what you're thinking about things out there, crazy as they are. Now, you regulars have this number on speed dial. But for the new folks just tuning in at the bottom of the hour, we'll be opening up phones, so you can write this down. It's 1-888-573-8372, or the fast way is 888-5-PETER-B. Or you can email me at stephanie.hendricks@yahoo.com, and my name is spelled with all E's, stephenie.hendricks@yahoo.com. In the last hour of the show, we have a great friend of the Peter B. Collins Show, and that's Brad Friedman from Brad Blog. He's got some hot news about an early Halloween tactic scaring folks in Virginia from the Virginian Republican Party, and that's going to be fun. We'll have the Pacifica pundit and commentator Larry Bensky with his razor wit to help us poke fun, I think, at all of the crazy election stuff going on with Brad Friedman. In the second hour, we're going to hear about the five top worst actions of the Bush administration regarding something you don't hear too much about, and that's your chemical exposure. What kind of chemicals in your bodies? And why are the scientists at the EPA being abused? Why are they being told they can't talk to anybody and have a gag order on them? And why does the EPA want to test kids with chemicals? Test them with pesticides? It's really kind of strange. Anyway, we're going to have some great folks talking about all of this, and you'll be able to call in and talk to them, too, in that hour. Sanford Lewis will be here of Investor Environmental Health Network. He's a filmmaker. He'll have a DVD to give to you guys. Kristen Welker Hood will be joining us from Physicians for Social Responsibility, and Dr. Bill Hersey from the EPA Scientists Union, telling you stuff they're not allowed to tell you. So stay tuned. But first, we're glad to have award-winning journalist Robert Perry joining us. He's a regular. You know him. He's the author of Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush, and a digger of deep, unreported news on his website, consortiumnews.com. Welcome, Robert. How are you today?
Good, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm great, and great to have you here. So Palin is acting as if she's some kind of fascist on the rise here with her threats of killing Obama coming from her audience, and she seems to enjoy that. What do you make of all that?
Well, it's really quite extraordinary that you have a member of a major party ticket effectively accusing an opponent, in this case Barack Obama, of being a fellow traveler with terrorists and whipping up the crowds with this kind of wild-eyed allegation. Combined with other attack lines that she's been using relating to ACORN and to its supposed efforts to sabotage democracy, so she's been exaggerating and engaging in this kind of hyperbole. Maybe she just thinks it's a clever way to whip up the crowds, but it's had this other consequence of leading some of the more out of control people at these rallies to start shouting statements like kill him and off with his head and terrorist. And so it's become a problem. And I think the odd thing was when Congressman John Lewis, who of course was an old civil rights marcher with Martin Luther King Jr., when he issued a very stern warning at the end of last week about this, he became the target of this outrage from the McCain-Palin campaign when he was simply pointing out that sometimes you unleash these forces and you can't control them. They do lead to violence. And in the case of Barack Obama as the first African-American with a serious shot at winning the presidency, those kinds of concerns should be at the forefront of people's minds. Instead, it appears that this anything-goes approach to politics is what's at the front of Palin's mind and, to an extent, McCain's. McCain certainly could stop this and has chosen not to.
You know, it's really amazing. I don't know also if you heard about the two young men that got beat up by a mob of little old ladies at a Palin.
Right.
So things have gone from shouting, kill him, to actually physical violence. And I'm just wondering, is this a lobster in the pot kind of situation? Or are we kind of just, you know, McCain and Palin are trying to normalize this. But is there something afoot here that we should be, I mean, I don't think John Lewis speaks lightly. He's not someone who's, you know, been speaking out a lot during this whole thing. So for him to step forward like that, I think was a profound moment in this election. How do you think people are going to react to this? Do you think they'll join into it, or do you think that they'll run away from it?
Well, it's hard to say. The press corps, and I'm often a critic of some of my colleagues in the Washington press corps, They've been trying to almost normalize this themselves. They've been acting like it's not a big deal. Last weekend, they were mostly outraged that Congressman Lewis would suggest such a thing, that there was some effort to whip up these crowds into violence like George Wallace had done back in the 1960s. So the odd thing is that while there should be more of a concern about where this could lead, for the good of the country as well as our politics, there's been a sense of, oh, this is a tempest in a teapot, but it is quite extraordinary that you've seen this level of anger from people on the right, especially since they've been in control of the government, the White House for 8 years, and Congress for most of the years since 1995, that despite that, there's this extraordinary anger on the right. One might think that many other Americans, particularly people who saw the election stolen in 2000 or who African Americans have seen their political and economic situation damaged average folks getting their 401ks and looking at what's happened to those, you'd think there'd be a lot more reasons to be angry. But the anger is really coming from people around the McCain-Palin campaign, and it seems to be used in a strategic way to rile up the base, raise more doubts about Obama, say pretty much anything that comes into your head about him. And then if anyone reacts negatively, then those people are criticized and attacked, as Congressman Lewis was.
Yeah, Pitbull, I guess, was one of their images they like to throw around there. Robert, I'd like to, if it's okay, go with something that's on your website this week, consortiumnews.com. I went to the issue of McCain's Columbia no-brainer, where McCain was accusing Obama of not understanding our diplomatic ties with Columbia by not supporting the free trade, some of the free trade arrangements there. And you have a great video posted there with a journalist who is really telling quite a different story. You want to share that with our listeners?
Right. That was something we collaborate with realnews.com, which is an independent video service that does news programming. And in this case, the program was really about how McCain's claims that Colombia deserves the free trade agreement, which he called a no-brainer during the last debate, and chastised Obama for not having traveled to Colombia and not knowing what he was talking about and opposing this. And Obama came back and said, no, I do know a lot about this. And then he recounted how many labor organizers are being taken out and assassinated in Colombia. And the Colombian government, which is, of course, a right-wing government run by President Uribe, who's himself had a long history of ties to the violent right, that they have not been cracking down on any of this. So Obama's argument was that the free trade, any real free trade, has to accept labor rights and other rights to make it fair in competition with the American economy. So Obama actually had a fairly substantial response, and then this piece does go back in and sort of show some more of that history of how what's actually been happening in Colombia, which is not reported very much in the major media here.
Right, and Forrest Highland was the name of the journalist based in Colombia who was doing this reporting. And one thing he said, I try to pay attention to what's going on, but 13 to 14 indigenous leaders in Colombia have been assassinated by the right-wing paramilitary in the past 2 weeks, and that's huge. That would be a big story anywhere but here in the United States, of course. And he said that this kind of slaughter wouldn't be possible without U.S. aid. So, I'm wondering if even Obama would be able to wind those things together and stand up for human rights in Colombia on not just the labor issue, but on an indigenous food sovereignty, really, issue, because that's what we're talking about here, is people being able to...
Right. And I think the point that was made in the piece, too, is that there isn't in the United States the kind of movement that brings these sorts of issues to people's attention and can put pressure on the government to react to them. Obviously, there are people in the American labor movement who are attuned to this, but we have seen a real decline in that kind of interest. Going back to my old days when I was with the AP back in the 1980s, there were a lot more groups that were helping reporters, getting information from the field relating to the assassinations and death squad operations that were going on in El Salvador, Guatemala, and the Nicaraguan Contra rebels. So you had a lot more interest in that, and that was sort of broken, I think, to a degree, during the Reagan years. People who tried to stand up for those kinds of things like human rights were called un-American, unpatriotic, and marginalized. And that's where we sort of stand at this point. Even if Obama gets into the White House, he's probably not going to have much support or encouragement to address these issues very aggressively.
Well, hold that thought, Robert Perry of ConsortiumNews.com. We'll be right back to talk more with you on the Peter B. Collins Show right after this.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Host the Peter B. Collins Show. It's Stephanie Hendricks filling in. We have renowned author and investigative journalist from ConsortiumNews.com, Robert Perry, with us. So, Robert, what kind of news can these journalists be reporting on? I mean, they don't seem to be telling the real story. We're not hearing about corporate accountability. We're not. I think Joan Didion did a piece today that sort of addresses that some of the real issues are the elephants missing in the room. Is Obama trying to not scare off the corporate investors in his campaign, or what do you think is going on there?
Well, I think there's some of that. I think Obama is trying to play it somewhat safe. He doesn't want to say something that could be taken out of context and thrown back at him. That's certainly happened enough already. But I do think the Democrats may be making a mistake in not reacting more aggressively to some of these truly off-the-wall attacks, these right-wing almost conspiracy theories about William Ayers supposedly being his secret mentor and that Obama is some kind of terrorist sympathizer and all this stuff that is being thrown out there. And I think the Democrats' approach has been, well, Americans can't possibly believe such nonsense. But we've seen in the past, even as recently as 2004 with the Kerry campaign, that sometimes that assumption doesn't work out well for you in the end. And there's also, I think, a very important issue now being raised about this group ACORN, which has been doing voter registration. And there have been some problems with some of the forms they've turned in. People fill them out incorrectly using phony names. But what we're seeing is interesting. It's almost a repeat. In fact, you could argue it is a repeat of what happened in both 2004 and 2006, often attacking ACORN as a right-wing Republican strategy to whip up their base, to try to justify crackdowns on voters, and to build this momentum around setting up investigations of groups that are trying to do voter registration. Much of this came out, of course, in the Prosecutorgate case, which was the firing of the 9 U.S. attorneys, some of whom refused to file phony indictments against ACORN and other groups because they realized that there wasn't much to these wild hyperbolic claims about voter fraud. And when some of the prosecutors refused to go along with the orders from Washington, they were fired. And this has been a major scandal. It led to the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez's resignation, the battles over trying to get testimony from Karl Rove and Harriet Myers and others have continued up to really last week when the Harriet Myers subpoena was blocked by a Republican-dominated appeals court panel in Washington. But so you have this reality going on, but when you watch the news about this, it's all about how someone used Tony Romo's name, and it's kind of laughing. This is a very serious development because it's another effort to associate Obama with some group that is being delegitimized and made into kind of a scapegoat or a bete noire.
And I just want to say, I mean, I've been in the Bay Area here, and I've worked on and off supporting ACORN. It's a reputable organization. It's noble. It's helping people in low-income housing and in a diminishing job market. And for the I'm surprised more white progressives haven't come forth to defend ACORN because they were the ones that discovered this was happening and came forth with the information. They weren't found out by someone else. I mean, they were very responsible as soon as they knew what was going on. And they're a good operation. They've done good things in the inner cities here. And I just would like to have seen more white progressive voices come to their defense. Would have been.
Right. And it's also true that in many states, these outside groups, when they do voter registration, they cannot hold back forms, even if they spot them as problems. And in many cases, ACORN has said, listen, we're the ones who flagged these problem forms, but we had to turn them in because that's what the law says. And it's been now twisted by this Republican attack apparatus, and now it's being used as another part of this campaign to make Obama into some scary, dangerous figure.
Well, I want to thank you, Robert Perry, for reporting on this on your website, consortiumnews.com. And I see also you have a fund drive going on. I want to encourage the Peter B. Listeners to contribute to the important work and investigation that you're doing that helps us speak truth to power and stand up to things. Really, thank you for being with us. And folks should also check out your book, Neck Deep, The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush, and consortiumnews.com. Thanks a lot, Robert, for being with
us. Thank you, Stephanie.
And when we come back, we're going to find out how chemicals could be making you sick. And actually, we're not going to do that just now. We're going to take your calls, and that's going to be your voice, and we want to hear your thoughts. And that's at 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood. When a person suffers cardiac arrest, in other words, their heart stops beating, you want to start CPR as soon as possible, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. The American Heart Association says the ideal pace of chest compressions is 100 per minute. But how fast is that? It's been found that one particular song is almost ideal. Bum, 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 bum. That's the Bee Gees hit Stayin' Alive from the 1977 movie Saturday Night Fever. That's 103 beats per minute. Study at the University of Illinois Medical School's Peoria campus finds that even without the music, remembering that song, keeping it in your head, helped to keep medical students and even doctors keep up the pace in CPR training. More after this.
1 gallon of fuel in a lawnmower will mow about half your backyard. A gallon of fuel in an ice cream truck will disappoint a lot of kids. But a gallon of fuel in a CSX train can move 1 ton of freight 423 miles. Just think what that can do for the environment. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things have sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
When the study from Peoria came out about using Stayin' Alive for CPR, it turned out the American Heart Association had been using that song in CPR training for about 2 years. Even people who confessed to having a poor sense of rhythm or who didn't even like disco music found it works for them. There's one other song that turned out to have about the same pace. It was recorded by Queen.
Another one bites the dust.
But somehow the idea of another one bites the dust didn't convey the correct image, since the purpose of CPR is quite the opposite of biting the dust. The John Travolta moves are optional. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
We've got it pretty good on the Central Coast. There are lots of cool places to run all over the county. Wilder, Nicene Marks, Poganip, Westcliff, they're all great. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Our whole staff not only works here, they run here too. Aaron and I are training for the Cal International Marathon. James and Alexia can be found jogging on Westcliff with their new puppy Sundance. And Brennan Lynch is having a great cross-country season for Santa Cruz High. Chris Proffitt left us to run for UC Irvine, so Charlie has joined our team and is starting at UCSC this fall. Come into Central Coast Running and enjoy running and walking with us.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. Stephanie Hendricks filling in for Peter B. He'll be back on Monday. I know you miss him. I miss him, too. And we want to hear what you have to say about things. I just put out a call to white progressives to stand up for the Acorn Project and for the kind of subtle and not so subtle racism going on in this election season. It's really disturbing to me. And I see we have someone responding to the call. Thank you so much, Karen. You're on from Sacramento. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Great.
Well, I have here a URL to a polling place lookup for California, but I did want to originally call just to say that I have spent an entire summer as a gypsy professional voter register. And we were hired by, there are various companies. These are the companies that will go out and collect signatures on petitions to get propositions. And so you are making money by the signature, and you are standing out in the hot sun or in the wind or the rain, all in the elements all day long, and you do collect several hundred. And so it's not unusual at all to come up with one or two names that don't match perfectly. And at the end of the day, you sit with a crew leader, and then it's your crew leader's job, and he goes through them, and then he might hand them to somebody else who goes through them another time. And it's a cooperative, collaborative relationship with the voter registrar, but not in the time of Nazi Germany, I guess.
So what you're saying is that there are some systems of checks and balances, which obviously work, because Acorn was the one that came forth and said, we had these discrepancies here. It wasn't like they were lying about it and someone, some regulatory agency found out about it. So you're saying that there's quite a process there. And what did you think of the integrity of the people you were working with? I mean, were people really going for the greater good here, or was it strictly to get the money for the signatures on those cards? What do you think?
I would say it would be an 80-20 split, 80% of everybody involved doing good. But now the organization I was with was they would literally put an ad in the newspaper, and you can see them yourself. They'll say activists.
Mm-hmm.
And you would get people who were in transition, but they would try to get good people, and most of the times they would, because if a crew leader's reputation goes down, he loses his job, and the company loses their reputation, and then they are no longer trusted. So there are checks and balances built into the system.
Are you given training, Karen? Like, are you, because some of the communities I would imagine Acorn's addressing are communities that are kind of feeling apathetic because they've been so disenfranchised for so long. I mean, and so you're going into people who might not necessarily welcome you with open arms. Because you're trying to get them to believe in the system, right, to engage in the system. So,
absolutely.
Did they give you training to do that and help you deal with that?
Yes, absolutely. And so to hear a party, which is soon to be the minority party, try to go and disenfranchise voters by saying you didn't cross your T or you didn't dot this I, is really un-American. And when you are an activist going out and getting these signatures, you are fighting against a lethargic American community who has fallen into hopelessness. And many people are cynical, and you run across that all day long. And so you're pitching America, you're pitching patriotism, and then in the back door here, now we got these Republicans all worried that they're going to lose the election and, you know, putting up a straw argument. So, I mean, we know the statistics. We know that the election fraud is far greater in magnitude than voter fraud. We know that. And in any system, in any corporation or any government, you know there's going to be a percentage of error.
Yeah.
There's always that.
But the Republicans are blowing it out of proportion and trying to take down a reputable organization in the process,
Absolutely, because it's all they've got.
Yeah. So what else did you want to talk about, Karen? You said you had some other issue you wanted to discuss before aside from this.
Well, I just wanted to email you. I don't have your email, but some way of maybe putting this on Peter's board, but it's a link that anybody in the state of California can click on this link, and you can check out whether you are registered to vote or not.
Okay. Is it a really long URL?
It is.
Okay.
It's polling place lookup. Sac County, and then a bunch of stuff.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I'll tell you my email address. And the problem is, it looks like my email is just temporarily down. I'm hoping to get it back up before the end of the show. It's stephanie.hendricks@yahoo.com. And that's stephanie.hendricks@yahoo.com. And as soon as I get internet service back, I will check the email and see about how that can get posted on Peter's site somewhere. Thank you so much for calling in, Karen, and thanks for the great work and this great service you've done to this country by going in to try to bring disenfranchised voters into the process. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks. And next on the line, and we'd like you to join us at 1-888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. We've got calling in from New Hampshire. We've got Brian from all the way up, out there. What's going on in New Hampshire? Are the leaves turning yet, Brian?
Yeah, they're very nice, but my Celtic Irish temperament is turning a lot more smoky than the people burning the leaves in their yards this time of year. I to get the facts, the lady was just on. There's a real nice person there, and a volunteer. We need people like that to be politically engaged for anything. I don't think she was talking about Acorn, because I have this piece here from commondreams.org, The Truth About Acorn's Voter Registration Drive by Bertha Lewis and Steve Kest. Fact: Acorn has implemented the most sophisticated quality control system in the voter engagement field, but in almost every state we are required to turn in all completed applications, even the ones that we know to be problematic, the ones that they flag, as you spoke of. And also, the fact is our canvassers are paid by the hour, not by the card, so there is no incentive for them to falsify cards. Acorn has a zero tolerance policy for deliberately falsifying registrations, and in the relatively rare cases where our internal quality controls have identified this happening, we have fired the workers involved and turned them into election officials and law enforcement. And in fact, no charges have ever been brought against Acorn itself. The convictions against individual former Acorn workers have been accomplished with our full cooperation using the evidence obtained through our quality control and verification processes. It goes on from there. This is in the Common Dreams piece from October 16th, and by Bertha Lewis and Steve Kest. And there's other, it just, this is a very, very patriotic group there. Acorn is they're very lawful group there. I can't believe John McCain is doing this, and he actually spoke before them in March of 2006, I believe.
Well, right, he did, yeah. And of course when he was courting, you know, that population. And what gets me is that, you know, Acorn does other things besides voter.
Oh, yeah.
They support housing. They support,
yes,
you know, early childhood education. There's all sorts of good things this organization does. And, you know, I'm a white person, but this just seems like super racism to me, and
yep,
it's just a way of scaring the white people, and that's where we are right now. We're trying to scare the white people to keep them from voting for Barack Obama, and the people who are scared of black people. I don't know if you guys saw was it the Jon Stewart show during one of the debate nights? They went to a retirement home in New York City. Did you see that?
Sometimes his commentary is sometimes the most pithy political commentary that's out there.
It's crazy.
Jon Stewart.
Yeah, it's crazy, but they went into a senior citizen's home in New York, and one of the women was, you know, when Barack Obama was on the screen, she goes, "He scares me. He just scares me." And it was interesting to me to see that there is a segment of society that, you know, they're clearly not listening to what he's saying.
We have to grow up as a nation. We also have to re-educating our kids again about having the basics of history, including the slavery and the seizing of this land from the Indians. Columbus Day, it can be a nice holiday for the good Italian-Americans out there, but the Columbus character himself wasn't always such a nice guy towards the native peoples that he encountered.
Well, you know, out here on the left coast, we call it Indigenous Persons Day, and there's a big party on Alcatraz.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think people, what makes me sad is another thing is that the white people that they're trying to make more afraid, who are already afraid,
yeah,
that what I think is, I think the people on the far right, and this is going to probably make some of you mad, but I think some of the people on the far right and some of the people on the far left have the same values. And there have been some issues that have been used as wedge issues intentionally. I think it's been very strategic on Roe's part to throw in gay marriage and abortion every time there's something real going on, like a bad economy or a war, to divide people. But the people on the far right believe in a fiscal conservatism, and the people on the far left believe in sustainability. Guess what? That's the same thing. They're exactly the same
right.
thing. The people
I think they're I can see that, there's a lot more compassionate right wing even born again Christians out there that are born again anyways. I don't know about the right wing part, but that are much more compassionate towards the planet and towards our fellow human beings than the media wants to let on. They just play to this group that has Sarah Palin as their cult.
Well, I do think the evangelicals, you know, there was a block of 60 million evangelicals that enabled those two elections to be stolen in 2000 and 2004. And something has happened since then, in part due to the National Evangelical Association Vice President Rich Cizik, who had a spiritual revelation that we had to make saving the earth a priority. And he enlisted a British guy, Sir John Houghton, and they went and lobbied Congress. And guess what? All the corporate driven evangelicals flipped out and attacked him, and they bounced Joel Hunter out of the Christian Coalition. And these two guys have joined forces, and they're aligning with scientists.
Right.
And so there's been this huge split. That 60 million block of evangelicals isn't together anymore. And they believe in saving the earth. They call it creation care. It's not environmentalism, but it is environmentalism, but they just call it something different. And they're seeing Iraq as murder, which is against God in their mind. And
Jesus was the Prince of Peace, of course. He was
a great social activist, really.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, absolutely. He was a community organizer.
Right. So I'm hoping that there's some way to get the far left and the far right together and then cut out the corporate-driven, fear-driven folks that are being manipulated by the Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, global economy that's really in its last throes of survival, like a big old dinosaur going on down. So
it has to be bailed out by we, the taxpayers, Wall Street and all of, the people that caused the problem. I don't trust anything about Henry Paulson or this young guy that he's giving a lot of the duties on issuing this money here. I just don't trust them at all. Capitalism isn't a deep sorry state. You can't let any economic system go unregulated, and George Bush has let it do that for 8 years.
I'm telling you. Listen, we're going to have to go to break, but thanks so much for calling, and I hope
you
enjoy that beautiful fall there. Thanks, Brian. It's Stephanie Hendricks filling in for Peter B. Collins. Actually, when we come back, I was just on Wall Street this week in New York City, and it was quite the intense, dramatic, crazy scene, and we're going to talk about it and hear what you have to say at 1-888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas. For reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair.
and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Got to find a way, Marvin Gaye says, to bring love in here today to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's Stephanie Hendricks filling in for Peter B. He'll be back with you all on, with us all, I should say, because I like listening too, on Monday. Give me a call at 1-888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. We want to hear from you. I'd like to hear what you think about what I just said a few minutes ago, if you happen to be listening, about how the far left and the far right have actually more in common than they might think, and what would happen if the far left and the far right joined together and they were able to put those wedge issues aside for the sake of maybe two other issues like climate change and ending genocide in the world and ending corporate-driven harm in the world. What if they could come together and wake up the other people who are sort of anesthetized by consumerism and get corporations out of the government? I mean, corporations are everywhere, and you can't get away from it. But in other countries, like the United Kingdom or in Canada, it's, you know, technically against the law to pay to put someone in office. And if you really want to know what drives a vote of a legislator, go look and see what their campaign contributions are. Go look and see what lobbyists for certain industries have spent in various lobbying activities, and not just in the federal level, but on the state level as well. It's huge. It's a billion-dollar business, and you know, I'm sure Peter discussed a lot with you when the Jack Abramoff scandal broke. That stuff's still going on, and nobody's really immune from it. Obama has lobbyists on his campaign, and of course, John McCain has quite a few lobbyists with ties to the defense industry and with ties to the energy industry. And are those the folks who are really calling the shots with our policy? And if they are, and they're influencing the corporate-driven Americans, how can we gain control and really have a government without this? Now, I remember John McCain talking about campaign reform, and we haven't heard a peep recently. But I have to say, I think Obama was talking about campaign reform as well, and he hasn't exactly been harping on that either, although I think Obama's been really making a lot of sense. And I'm, you know, I think he's definitely the lesser of the evils, but we've got to listen to other folks in the arena right now, too, like Ralph Nader, I believe he had an event on Wall Street about the lack of a voice given to the corporate control and the corporate harm being done and why corporations aren't being reined in for causing a global economic collapse, for example, or other things as we're going to discuss in the next hour. I'm not going to tell you about that yet, but it's going to be a very interesting and shocking discussion about some corporate activity that's actually getting in your body. But when I was on Wall Street this week, my daughter goes to school in New York, and it was her birthday, so we went back there, and her dorm's not so far away from Wall Street. We wandered down Wall Street itself, which is a tiny street because, you know, New York was built in the 1700s, so it's not as big as it looks on TV. And there was the, you know, stock exchange floor and lots of stockbrokers. But it was a huge, huge circus with media trucks from all over. Just for good measure, there's tearing up the streets, so there's construction going on. So there's all these guys in hard hats and jackhammers going on. Tons of media trucks with foreign journalists and U.S. journalists. And then there was the street theater, which was really entertaining. One group in particular were three guys dressed as stockbrokers. They could have been. There is sort of a uniform there. I don't know if you've noticed it. I think it's in every major financial center. There's the blue shirt, and there's the striped tie and the dark pants and the sort of, you know, I don't know, loafers, I guess you'd call them. And so they were like this, only they were, one was juggling and talking about juggling stocks, and another was jumping up and down on kind of a pogo stick, talking about dodging the Dow. And then there was a guy playing taps on his trumpet, and they were they had their bailout buckets there for and I thought, God, you know, really, God bless America that you could have a supreme disaster that has triggered economic crisis on a global level. And what do? They become theater. They turn it into theater, and that's what was going on Wall Street. Business wasn't really down that much according to the folks we talked with in New York City. I'm sure it was down in the stock brokerages, but in the restaurants and the places we visited, there was quite a lot of activity and a lot of Europeans because the dollar's so weak, and that was kind of fun. It was kind of like being in Paris or in Germany. So once again, we're trying to get as many of your voices on the air as we possibly can, and we want to do that by having you call in at 1-888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me, although I must say I'm having a little trouble with the email right now, but as soon as we get it, we'll look at your emails. Stephanie Hendricks. Stephanie.Hendricks at yahoo.com, and that's Stephanie with all E's, no A's, at Stephanie.Hendricks at yahoo.com. So what do you think about this, and what's going on with you? Have you lost money? Are you losing your home? We know a lot of people have lost their homes because of they were renters, and the owners foreclosed on them. Another thing I've heard, and I don't know if Peter's talked about this with you guys or not, but I've heard that folks who've lost their homes that are kicked off the voter rolls because they're not they don't have a permanent residence, and maybe there's not enough time to get back on the rolls again. So it seems a really strange and horrible thing to have someone lose their home and then also lose their voice in voting and in the government. So I don't know if that's true, and if any of you have done any research on that. I know you guys are pretty well informed because I listen to the show and I listen to you and all that you have to contribute. So give us a call here and let us know about it. 1-888-573-8372. We're going to talk about some corporate control of our bodies in the next segment. We're going to talk about some chemical exposure that you may not have been aware of, that you don't even know you have in your body, and we'll be giving away a DVD to help you learn about it. So I hope you stick around for that. We'll have an EPA scientist union official on talking about the abuse that the EPA scientists have had lately. You guys probably heard about James Hansen. He was the NOAA and NASA scientist who first spoke out about climate change and then was muzzled by the Bush administration and then spoke out even more. Scientists, by their nature, like to just be in their labs, and so when they have to speak out like that, it's a big deal. We have Julie calling from Eureka. Julie, we've got 1 minute, and I know you want to make a comment. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, hi, Stephanie, with lots of ease.
All these. You got 1 minute, Julie. What's going on?
Well, I was just wanting to share with you that poignant little story you were telling about Wall Street really brought for me that I saw this thing on History Channel recently, and it was about the history of Wall Street. And one of the things it said was that Wall Street was originally built to keep out the wild pigs that ran rampant through that area. And I just thought that was really poignant, like, wow, the pigs have broken through. And they are in the streets of Wall Street now. And, you know, Wall Street's no longer keeping the pigs out. And, it's, and I just thought it was a poignant thing that, you know, history always points us to the reality or truth.
That's lovely. That's wonderful, yeah. Julie. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, yes. That's right. The pigs are actually running wild on Wall Street.
Yeah, they're running wild on Wall Street. And, like, I think that it's the big, like, con game that we're all being sucked dry of all of our resources before the Bush administration hits the road.
Well, we're not going to let that happen, Julie. There's more of us than there are of them. Thanks for calling in.
Go right on.
Calling again. Thanks a lot. Okay, as I told you, when we come back, we're going to find out some really shocking news about the chemicals in your body and the sort of repression of science and what you can do about it. And later on in the show, we're going to meet Brad Friedman.
Are you paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another ride on the stock market roller coaster.
Volatility continues to be the word of the day on Wall Street.
But the ride to the gas station gets easier.
All 50 states are now below $4 a gallon.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. They closed out a wild week at the New York Stock Exchange. The Dow had a swing of nearly 600 points today before closing 127 points lower at 88.52. But for the week, the Dow's up almost 5%, its biggest weekly percentage gain since 2003. Today, CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says some easing in the credit market was offset by discouraging economic reports.
More bad news on the housing front. No big surprise there. Consumer confidence at a record low. No big surprise there as well. We did have better than expected earnings from Google, so that helped the tech sector a little bit. And Warren Buffett is now saying he is out there buying American companies and is recommending that other people do the same thing, saying that he is fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And certainly right now we have got a fearful market on our hands.
New home construction fell 6.3% last month. Way more than expected. Dave Siders is chief economist at the National Association of Home Builders.
The housing sector continues to spiral downward. We're seeing weakness in demand, heavy supply. The builders are cutting back new production. That's what they should be doing, but the impacts on the economy, negative side, are quite serious.
Now this.
How to properly insulate your wallet. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot and purchase insulation. Step 2. Seal your home and install insulation. It can help save up to 20% on your heating and cooling costs. Step 3. Use the money you save to insulate your wallet.
At the Home Depot, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 products throughout the store to help you get ready for winter, including energy-efficient items like insulation. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
$10? Maybe 2 cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend, for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
The price of crude oil edged up a bit today, closing just under $72 a barrel on speculation that OPEC will cut production. But as you've noticed, gasoline prices are falling on an almost daily basis.
The national average for self-serve regular is $3.04 a gallon, and that's a staggering 81 cents less than this time last month, 54 cents less than just 2 weeks ago.
Troy Green of AAA says the average price is below $3 a gallon in 21 states, and with a price drop in Alaska, all 50 states are paying less than $4. On the campaign trail, the economy is topic A. John McCain told a rally in Miami that if Barack Obama gets elected, hold on to your wallet.
All he had to do to say to Joe the plumber and millions of small business people around this country, I won't raise your taxes, but he couldn't do that because he's going to raise their taxes.
Not unless you're well off, says Obama.
If you make less than $250,000 a year, $250,000 a year, which includes 98% of small business owners, you won't see your taxes increase one single dime.
He told a crowd in Roanoke, Virginia, that McCain would finance his health care plan by slashing $882 billion from Medicare over 10 years. The McCain campaign responds that he would not cut a single benefit and Obama is, quote, simply lying. Several major newspapers, including the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, and the Los Angeles Times, endorsed Obama today. And CBS News senior political correspondent Jeff Greenfield says Colin Powell is expected to make his choice known when he appears on Meet the Press.
The speculation going on now about what Colin Powell is going to say on Sunday stems from the fact that were he to back Obama, it would be an item of some note because the man has been a lifelong Republican, served in Republican administrations. And that kind of endorsement causes people to go, gee, I wonder why he did that.
Levi Stubbs, lead singer of the Four Tops, died today at his home in Detroit. He was 72. On the Motown label, the Four Tops had 20 hits in the top 40. Stubbs and his wife, Clarice, were married 48 years.
He was just an excellent husband and father. He was very good, not only that, to his brothers and sisters and everybody. His heart was out open. Just open like that to the people.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Wallet.
Now, are we at the gas station now?
Yeah, I know. I'm feeling these gas prices, too.
On the wallet down here, head to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
Why?
Proper vehicle maintenance. A new air filter can save 41 cents a gallon. Correct tire inflation up to 12 cents a gallon.
Wow, that sure adds up.
Fat wallets are very in right now.
Ask for the Works Fuel Saver package at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer and get fuel saving details at genuineservice.com.
I'm Jim. Starting a construction business in this economy, you need every advantage you can get. That's why my accountant recommended Intuit QuickBooks. He said it's small business software that'll help me track every penny. Money in, money out, so I always know what's going on. So I tried it, and turns out he hit the nail right on the head. I can see all my money in one place. That's good, because I'm building more than houses. I'm building my business.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
That's the Temptations, Ball of Confusion. That's what we've got in this world today. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. Yes, I'm not Peter. Peter will be back on Monday. I'm Stephanie Hendricks, and I want to let you know next hour we're going to get back to the election talk and political news with Brad Friedman of Brad's Blog, or actually it's Brad Blog, and commentator Larry Bensky. But right now there's some shocking news about our federal government going out of power, we hope, and that is to do with chemicals and the chemicals in our body and our in somehow they're connected with rising illness. It's kind of a crazy, unreported story. Joining us to tell us about it this hour is Sanford Lewis. He's an attorney and counsel to Investor Environmental Health Network and also a filmmaker, and you'll have a chance to maybe get one of his DVDs. And then Kristen Welker Hood joins us also from Washington, D.C. Kristen Welker Hood's a nurse, a doctor of science, and a director of environment and health programs for the Physicians for Social Responsibility. Hey there, Kristen.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
I'm good. We've been working hard here, huh?
Oh, certainly. Thank you so much for having me come on the show today.
We're thrilled to have you here. You know, your organization with a lot of other folks conducted a survey of the top five worst actions from the Bush administration having to do with chemical exposure, scientific integrity, and public health. So tell us why you did this and what you found out.
Sure. Really, the impetus behind doing such a kind of convenient sample of opinions among thought leaders on this issue is we really wanted to get the message out to policymakers, decision makers, those who we elect and make these decisions for us, that there is this thing going on that's pervasive around the country that I'd like to call chemical trespass, that children and women who are either of childbearing years or who are pregnant, they are all exposed to chemicals, and when these children are born, they're born with chemicals in their body, which really represents that, you know, it's not just chemicals that are out there. They actually invade and get into our body, and then because of this lifetime exposure, they are coming, they're developing various illnesses and diseases. You know, we've seen growing rates of autism in children, and we have certainly seen rising rates of cancer. Although we're doing better at treating them, the cases have not decreased. So I think that while everybody is so aware of the growing cases of disease, there's that question that everybody wonders is, well, why is this happening to my family, and why should we be concerned, and is there a link between all of these things? And much of the research out there has been suggesting that, you know, that many of these chemicals are related to various adverse health outcomes. So I think that we really need to draw this future decision makers, whether the president is Obama or the president is McCain, they need to really take a hold of this as Congress has taken a hold of climate, and they have to really reform how we're managing chemicals in this country because the current system is broken.
Now, Kristen, you are sending letters to Barack Obama and John McCain asking them for chemical reform. Is that right?
Yes, we are.
And so tell me about the group of people, you know, who signed these letters. Was it these were people that were interested because of what the top five worst actions were that you discovered. Maybe we could talk about that and then talk about some of the folks involved.
Sure. Really, so the top five that came up, and what we did was we gave a option of 20 potential bad decisions, and the list could have been longer, but to have some brevity in the survey, we chose the top 20, and we sent this out and to people to respond to, and what came out to be the top five was, and I'll go through them. Number one was the gag rule of EPA scientists and staff, preventing them from being able to speak publicly and to really talk about what their research is finding. It's really interfering with the ability to properly protect public health So it does interfere with already existing rules on whistleblower protections. So that was the number one. The second one was looking at the approval of a human testing rule in intentionally dosing human beings, and especially children, to chemicals and pesticides. The third one was in the Patriot Act 2, there was Section 202, which allows corporations to keep materials, to keep secret the activities and the materials being used for toxic biological, chemical, and radiological materials. And really the guise under that is we don't want this information to get in the hands of terrorists, so therefore we're going to keep this kind of private and quiet, and make it very onerous on the citizen who's living in that neighborhood who is at risk to actually get that information. The fourth one was eliminating protections to workers and from toxics in the workplace, and we've seen over the past 8 years that many standards that are brought forward through OSHA to adequately protect worker health, they're frequently prevented to be enacted. So that is very problematic, and workers are now less protected than they have been. And then the fifth is the EPA refusing to allow California and other states to set their own regulations for mitigating climate change. And that just recently happened when they, Administrator Johnson refused to allow California to require that new cars have actually better CAFE standards.
And these are some pretty amazing things that people, most people just don't know about. I see you have a couple of runner up things here too, and the U.S. fails to support international treaties on chemicals. That means other agreements that other countries are trying to push forth, we're not supporting.
Right, that is the case. And I'll give you an example on that. You know, the United States actually signed the treaty, which we call the Stockholm Convention Treaty on Persistent Organic Pollutants. We did sign that treaty, but we have yet to ratify that treaty into U.S. law. So, and I think that some of the cases is when the Stockholm Convention passed, it was dealing with really the top dirty, what they call the dirty dozen chemicals, those persistent organic pollutants that many of the chemicals have actually already been banned in the United States. But the most important part of the Stockholm Convention was that it created a scientific review process to elect new chemicals that would be banned through this convention, through this treaty. And then, for example, one chemical that is up for consideration is the chemical lindane, which we know we use for the control of head lice. This is a persistent organic pollutant, and it has considerable important health effects, and particularly among kids, and we need to keep them safe from this type of chemical. Well, lindane will not be banned in the United States through the Stockholm Convention Treaty, because we've never ratified it.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of a loophole kind of situation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then another thing that made the list were neglecting contaminated communities all across the country. And there were several ones, but one in particular, they're all horrible situations where the EPA has basically ignored people who are sick. But in Dixon, Tennessee, the EPA knew, I guess, that there were carcinogens in the water there, but only alerted the white community, not the black community, I guess, is one of the examples of failing to protect communities from contamination. I guess this was some manufacturing contamination or landfill contamination that a whole segment of the community was excluded from being able to protect itself, and as a result there's a lot of people with cancer, and I guess there are many communities across the United States, including Alaska, where toxics are unregulated, unprotecting. Are you thinking that Obama and McCain already know about these things, or is this a whole new area of education that whoever gets in the White House is going to have to plug into? Because clearly this administration hasn't educated themselves or become engaged.
Right. Well, I can't speak to what Senator Obama or Senator McCain do know, but what I can say is what is currently happening is going to have to dramatically change, because we are really dealing with a crisis here. And I think it does require much better education of our incoming president. And I do believe that there is significant leadership both within the Senate and the House that have an awareness around the problems around these different sorts of toxic chemicals that are impacting communities widely. For example, perchlorate, which the EPA has really decided not to set a standard for.
And that's jet fuel, right? That's what comes with jet fuel. So that kind of stuff goes in our atmosphere, right?
Yeah, it's jet fuel, and it gets into our drinking water, and the EPA has been able to demonstrate that, you know, many communities throughout the country, and it's not even just a few hot spot communities, but really across the board in this country, there are areas that have perchlorate in their drinking water, and it impacts thyroid function in children, and it's really something that we need to control, and we need to better monitor, and we need to protect women and pregnant women and children. Now,
you know what, Kristen, hold that thought, because we want to hear more from you. Kristen Welker-Hood from Physicians for Social Responsibility and Sanford Lewis from the Investor Environmental Health Network. We're going to be talking about the chemicals in your body, human testing, and also the Environmental Protection Agency right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Write down this number, 1-888-573-8372. We're going to want to hear from you on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Kevin McGibbon, and I'm running for Cabrillo College trustee. Cabrillo College is a great part of our Mid-County community. It's a launching pad for university education, and Cabrillo offers needed trade education to support local business, all the while giving its students a chance to afford our cost of living. Over time, as our local economic base grows and changes, Cabrillo becomes that much more important to prepare students for the job market, as well as to local businesses that need new talent. I, Kevin McGibbon, pledge to push Cabrillo's establishment as an innovation center, as a way to source new revenue, attract students, new business, and to take advantage of new facilities that taxpayers have so graciously funded for so long. I'll provide leadership to expand access to a Cabrillo education to underserved students in Santa Cruz County. And I'll challenge Cabrillo to be the first carbon-neutral community college in California. Embracing a green approach will cut costs, generate opportunities for educational programs, and uncover new revenue sources. Let's make Cabrillo even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo Trustee.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now, we have a report of a fire in King City on Highway 198, just east of Griffin Road. The fire is on the right shoulder to the westbound side of the 198. The California Department of Forestry is on the scene. Looking At Espinosa Road and Russell Road, a broccoli truck has spilled its entire load across the roadway, blocking both lanes. Be very careful. CHP is on the way. Taking a look at Highway 20, just south of Highway 68, there are large beams near the fog line. And on the northbound 101, just south of Monterey Road, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. A car is on fire. Lane number 1 is closed just south of Monterey Road. CHP is on the scene and tow trucks are on the way. And that's your traffic on AM 540.
Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. Stephanie Hendricks filling in. Our guest this hour, Kristen Welker Hood from Physicians for Social Responsibility and Sanford Lewis Council to Investor Environmental Health Network. We want to hear what questions you have about chemicals in your body and how they affect your health or your children's health. The number is 1-888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. Kristen, you were talking about pregnant women and children. There's been some stuff in the news lately about that some of the listeners might be aware of. Can you think of some sort of common ways that people get exposed? And I'd like to bring Sanford in on this, too, with his ideas. But we'll start, since you've got a two-year-old, so I think you've been freshly in this, thinking about this.
Sure. I mean, really, chemicals are all around us. They're in our home. They're outside in our ground and our air. So the classic ways that people are exposed to chemicals is through inhalation, when they breathe it in, when they eat it, on their food, when they're drinking water, when they're bathing in contaminated water, because you can be. Those are really the basic exposure routes, inhalation, ingestion, dermal exposure through your skin. These are the ways that people are exposed. So if we have chemicals that are out there, and even at very low doses, if they're out there and you have a continuous exposure to a low-dose chemical, that really adds up over time. And I'm not suggesting that a chemical simply being out there in the world is going to make anybody ill. You have to have that chemical be able to get into your body. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about chemicals that people have been exposed to and they have internalized it, and we're demonstrating that these chemicals have an internalized dose. We know that they're in them, and we're measuring the outcome of that exposure, and many various studies have demonstrated with internalized dose that with certain chemicals, certain health outcomes such as cancer or problems, neurologic deficits have been related. So that's how someone might be exposed.
Mm-hmm. Let me bring Sanford in here. Sanford, you produced a video called Contaminated Without Consent. And so you actually went into some folks' homes. And maybe you could give us an example of what was found there.
Yeah. Well, we spoke with a variety of citizens who've actually discovered by various testing that either it's in their blood or in several cases, that it's in their dust in their houses. Now, how did it get into the dust? It got into the dust, these various toxic chemicals, because they're in the mattresses, they're in the chairs, they're in the curtains, they're in the carpets, and then all those things are breaking down in people's houses, and they're being exposed to it. And
so when these items are made,
With toxic chemicals in all those products.
I see.
And
mm-hmm.
on top of that, people are putting toxic chemicals on their lawn, and they think it doesn't get in the house, but it is very much
so when someone hires a lawn care business, those people spraying stuff, that's toxic chemicals.
It doesn't stay outside.
Mm-hmm.
It gets trucked
mm-hmm.
in on people's feet or on animals' feet.
Mm-hmm.
I made another film. I'm sorry, did you want to say
through wind.
And through the wind, sure.
Through your doorway and through your windows?
I would imagine kids and pets have something in common. They tend to play in the dirt more, and so they might be at a higher risk for exposure, I would think, and have higher risk for illness on things. So.
Yeah, pets are a particularly interesting vector in terms of trucking it in. You know, they run across the lawn and just bring it right into the house.
I saw in today's Los Angeles Times a local chemist from UC Berkeley and Stanford, Arlene Bloom, wrote an op-ed about her cat, Midnight, dying of thyroid disease, and her suspecting the flame retardants in her furniture because she had her cat tested, and sure enough, Midnight had these PBDEs in her body, and the veterinarian is very concerned about the huge spikes in thyroid disease among animals that he's seeing, as well as, not the veterinarian, but I mean, we know physicians, Chris, and certainly in your organization, concerned about the spikes in thyroid disease and diabetes and other exposure-related chemicals. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're going to talk more. We're going to have an EPA union official, Dr. Bill Hersey, is going to join us next, and we're going to talk more about chemicals and the corporations that want to do human testing on children and all sorts of crazy stuff. Right now, we're going to also want your questions and comments and calls at the Peter B. Collins Show. Call 1, I should have this memorized by now, but it's 1-888-2-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
What's real anymore? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The candidates are appearing on any show that will have them, but what's real?
Joe the plumber lives in a cigar box under my bed.
Okay, not real. What about this?
I've dismissed my entire team of senior advisors. All of their positions will now be held by a man named Joe the Plumber.
Yeah, that's the actual John McCain, but it's a joke from the Al Smith dinner. Of course, it turns out that now Joe the Plumber is actually Sam the Plumber, and he doesn't have a license, so he's Sam the Unlicensed Plumber.
Would your friend Joe be, by any chance, an imaginary friend?
Okay, so that was a joke, or was it? All right, how about this?
I screwed up.
That is the real John McCain groveling on Letterman after skipping out on him, and they laugh and they talk about whether it makes sense to associate Barack Obama with ex-bomber William Ayers, and then suddenly...
The point in this campaign
you
is
had
the economy
a,
and the economy...
Did you not have a relationship with Gordon Liddy?
I've met him. Did you attend a fundraiser at his house?
A congressional hearing breaks out, except it has a ban in commercial breaks.
I know Gordon Liddy. He went to prison. He paid his debt, as people do. I'm not in any way embarrassed to know Gordon Liddy and his son, who is also a good friend and supporter of mine.
Knows Gordon Liddy and his son. What does it mean? Who knows? Actually, it means that maybe Letterman should be the new host of Meet the Press. I haven't seen a grilling like that since the electric chair was banned. See, this is why so many people are paying attention to this campaign. If you don't, you won't get the jokes. Now this.
Hi, I'm David James. I'm an expert to the world in spirituality.
There are millions of experts who are brilliant in the kind of things everyone needs answers to.
Hi, my name is Larry Doan. I'm an immigration lawyer in Los Angeles.
Now you can chat with them live, online, and benefit from their knowledge.
Hi, I'm Jamie Parker, a public relations specialist and an expert to the world on LivePerson.com.
There's a world of experts on LivePerson.com. Chat live. It's free to start. LivePerson.com, a world of experts.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade wraps, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out BlackForestEspresso.com.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With the high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. Collins, yes, he's also a sweet, wonderful, nice guy, and he'll be back here on Monday. This is Stephanie Hendricks filling in for him. We're talking about chemicals in your body, chemicals in your environment. How did they get there, and what can we do about them, and why isn't the government regulating them? How did they get in the marketplace to begin with? We have Kristen Welker-Hood from Physicians for Social Responsibility, Sanford Lewis Council to Investor Environmental Health Network, and I'd like to welcome this hour Dr. William Hersey. He's from the NTE Union 280 EPA headquarters. Those are the EPA scientists. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. It's nice to be with you.
Thank you so much. Tell us how the EPA scientists have been treated by this administration, and why did Bush implement a gag rule on the EPA scientists?
Well, I think the implementation of the gag rule is largely an outgrowth of the California waiver decision that seemed to come with that, but there have been so many other instances of shenanigans at EPA that I think this administration is just embarrassed about, that they're trying to keep the lid on as much as possible.
Now, when you say shenanigans, are these EPA scientists that are fighting against what they think are wrong decisions by political appointees in the agency?
Well, it's more than just wrong decisions by the political appointees. It's flying in the face of the law. When we join the civil service, we take an oath that's virtually the same as the military oath to defend the Constitution, support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when the administration officials basically try to enlist the civil service in subverting the law, and the California waiver decision in our view is certainly one of those, where the Clean Air Act explicitly says that global warming gases can be regulated, and the Supreme Court said that, and then for the administration to make up a cockamamie excuse saying that California in fact did not meet the standards of requiring that added protection is flying in the face of the law, and that is a unfortunately makes people who make those kinds of decisions, in our view, domestic enemies, which is kind of a harsh thing to say, but that's the way we read it.
Ooh, domestic enemy. You know, I know that there are a couple of other things that have happened, EPA approvals that went against the wishes of the EPA scientists. Just wondered if you could talk a little bit. One of them actually made the top five list that Kristen Welker-Hood organization, the sampling that they did, and that is the human testing of children, of exposing children to pesticides. The EPA staff scientists didn't approve of that. Is that right?
That's right. And in fact, one of our larger labor unions had one of the national officers of the American Federation of Government Employees wrote to the EPA about that very thing. There are a number of scientific issues around that concern, in addition to the moral and ethical concerns. The fact that these kinds of exposures may or may not show an adverse effect level and nevertheless be causing problems in some of the exposed population, the bottom line that I'm getting at here is the data may be totally useless that are gathered in that fashion. And, of course, that was some of us think that that was what the pesticide industry was after, was, well, let's get human data. Let's get human data. Animal data is not so meaningful. The point is that in animal data, you can easily establish a no effect level. And in humans, that's very difficult to do. And so, but it's very nice to be able to say, well, we have human data that show that this, there's no problem with this. Well, you don't know where the no effect level is.
Well, and you know, for that might be a little technical for some of the folks listening, but I also understand that with pesticides, a lot of them have neurological effects which might not manifest for years.
Things like
brain tumors or Parkinson's or developmental delays. So there wasn't any plan to monitor these kids for that.
Well, that's exactly right. And as a matter of fact, the Inspector General of EPA a year and a half, 2 years ago, issued a report that said EPA basically does not have the tools at this time to do an adequate job of assessing developmental neurotoxicity, which is the very thing that you were talking about, the kinds of things that can affect a brain function in young kids as they grow older, the exposures that happen in utero, or in early childhood, that can manifest themselves in substantial neurological deficits later on. EPA has no way of assessing that.
Wow. And Sanford Lewis would like to chime in here.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question. So I think part of what you're saying with the difference between animal and human testing is that when you test the chemicals, so-called test the chemicals on humans, you're doing them at low levels, and when you do them on animals, you do a lot of animals, and you sort of blast the animals with it, and you get sort of accurate scientific test. So
that's exactly right. That's been the standard process, and then you can establish a no effect level, apply certain safety factors, which I won't go into, and set a what is a putatively safe level of exposure for humans. Whereas in the case of humans, you simply can't intentionally expose people to levels that are going to cause frank toxicity. I mean, that's a moral no-no. So the data that you get from those kinds of human experiments is much less useful than the data you get from animal experiments.
So you're asking the regulators to wear kind of a blindfold.
Well, and I think what's interesting here is that
with respect to using human data, that's right.
Yeah.
It seems to me that the EPA scientists then are being prevented from doing their jobs. And I also remember they were closing libraries and destroying research.
Oh yeah, that's another great story.
So we've lost some research that really could save lives or improve our health, but it's gone now, right? Because they destroyed it this year.
Well, yeah, some of the material is gone, and there's a lot we could talk about in terms of the actual waste involved in some of that, and some of the crazy ideas that EPA had in restoring library function. They were going to restore the Region 5 library in Chicago in a space that was smaller than a normal work cubby for a civil servant, replacing an entire library. And having sold off all of the library furnishings at well below fire sale prices to private contractors, which was a huge loss of
and I don't think people understand what that the significance of that, because an EPA library has maybe one of a kind research that EPA scientists then make available to other scientists and health professionals that are trying to understand the link between, you know, chemical exposure and illness, right? So
that's right.
It's crucial data to understand this problem.
That's right, and citizens have access to those libraries as well. People who are concerned about toxic releases in their neighborhood and what the implications of those might be for their health. Having closed those libraries denies the public that kind of information.
You know, all of these things that the EPA are doing, to me, it's as if they're trying to make the U.S. into a third world level protected country. You know, and you compare with what's happening in Europe, it's like the levels of protection in Europe are going up on so many of these issues, and here in the United States, this government is trying to, you know, drive them down. What really strikes me is that it's actually going to backfire in terms of if they think that this is protecting U.S. corporations, it's actually going to make U.S. corporations less competitive in the long run because they don't have to keep up with the science that as it's understood and you know in the rest of the world.
Yep, that's right, and it's a tragedy in another way that the U.S. was a leader in environmental protection for so long, and the rest of the world looked to us for environmental programs to protect public health and the environment. And now, especially in the last 8 years, we've seen that that turn into a mirror image where we're left in the dust, and the rest of, especially in Europe, protections are much more in evidence than they are here.
Boy, and it's up to the consumer to have a part-time job, really, essentially, to decide what kind of products that are going to poison their children and their families. Kristen, do you have any tips for folks? And by the way, I just want to applaud. I've seen the long list, and in fact, I've got to do full disclosure with you here. I've actually worked with you on this project and bringing people together to support the EPA scientists. And I believe the American Nurses Association has come on this, and I just wanted you to talk a little bit about the breadth of people from the Learning Disabilities Association that are really concerned about this right now and trying to establish chemical reform. You there?
Yes, I am. So as you just pointed out, we do have a very vast group of people, individuals as well as organizations, some of them citizens who've been impacted and affected in their community, and others who actually do research on these problems and are health professionals. So I think that we have a very wide expanse of people who are really calling for a change. And I just wanted to remark on that last comment that Sanford was and Bill were saying, which was talking about chemicals and regulation being so much better in Europe. And a lot of those changes have been afforded by the passing of the International Reach Treaty through the European European Union. The interesting point on that is that many of the companies making chemicals have to compete in both the European and the United States market. And so they'll have companies making products that are going to the European market, and they have to adopt safer alternatives. But they maintain the same product with the more toxic chemicals in the U.S. market because the regulation isn't as strict here to protect human health. And I think
so American consumers, people here in the U.S., get the poison products. And we're talking things like lipstick and is that what we're talking about? And,
absolutely.
And so things that they have no idea. They go into the local drugstore, they buy some cosmetics or something, and they're getting the poison product where you go into the same for the same product in the EU, so in France, for example, and it's going to be more safe for you. And we won't know, and we don't know that, right? We can't tell.
Exactly. Right? That's exactly what I'm pointing out.
And what's happening is consumers are revolting at this point. They're getting their own information, and they're abandoning products that are unsafe.
So everybody hold that one thought. I'd like to take at least one call. The phones are lighting up here, and I thank you, callers, so much for being patient. We have Marcella in Salinas. She wanted to ask Kristen a question. So, Marcella?
Hi, Kristen. Thank you for bringing this up, but I haven't heard one word about vaccines or flu shots that are loaded with mercury that are mandated now practically for pregnant women and six-month-old babies, at least a flu shot is, and you cannot get thimerosal free without asking, but most people do not know to ask for a thimerosal or mercury free. You're not mentioning the vaccines, and during the past 8 years of the Bush administration, they probably doubled or tripled the amount of so-called mandated vaccines. And could you talk about people's rights, like philosophical rights, in California, where their kids can still attend school without being pressured to get the vaccine?
You know what, Marcella, we've got to go take a break right now, but when we come back, we'll talk about thimerosal and mercury, and with Kristen Welker-Hood from Physicians for Social Responsibility, Bill Hersey from the EPA Scientists Union, and Sanford Lewis from the Investor Environmental Health Network. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA traffic report. We are continuing to monitor the fire in King City on Highway 198 just east of Griffin Road. The fire is on the right shoulder to the westbound side of the 198. The fire is very close to the roadway and smoke is slowing traffic. Also in King City, on northbound 101, just south of Central Avenue, we have a traffic hazard. A CHP cruiser is on the way. Here's your weather forecast for tonight. Patchy low clouds in the evening, then widespread low clouds and fog areas of smoke through the night. Lows in the lower 50s, south winds around 5 miles per hour. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffee-topia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Experience, leadership, vision. Let's vote McGibbon for Cabrillo trustee on November 4th.
I'm SoCal resident Kevin McGibbon, and I've lived in Mid-County for most of my life. My wife and I are working to give our three children the spirit of independence and community found in Capitola, Pleasure Point, SoCal, and Live Oak. After receiving my MBA, I entered the challenging field of international business, and for the past 7 years, I've owned and operated my own international marketing firm. I also am an adjunct professor at the MBA program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. After being elected president of the Opal Cliff Park and Recreation District, I secured funding to clean up the park and make it safer for our kids. As a SoCal Schools trustee, I worked with administrators, staff, and teachers. We improved student nutrition programs. We established a preschool. And we were able to increase teacher and staff salaries in a fiscally responsible way. I see the significant challenges and opportunities facing our students. Let's continue to improve the future for our kids. Let's make Cabrillo College even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo trustee.
Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's Stephanie Hendricks filling in. We're talking about chemical contamination and the failure of the Bush administration to honor our nation's scientists. Guest this hour, Kristen Welker Hood from Physicians for Social Responsibility, Dr. William Hersey from NTE Union 280 EPA headquarters in Sanford, Lewis Council to Investor Environmental Health Network. I'm Stephanie Hendricks filling in for Peter B. He'll be back on Monday. Kristen, we had a call from Marcella and Salinas, and she wanted to know about mercury and thimerosal, and I realized that wasn't something identified by the leaders on this, but it is a concern to the general public, and it sort of leads to a broader question. How come mercury is not regulated in products? How come we have 62,000 chemicals that haven't been regulated? And I'd love to have your feedback and then maybe Dr. Hersey's feedback as well.
Well, to answer the caller's question, I would say that the mercury that is it is sort of a byproduct of the thimerosal, which is a preservative that is put in to flu vaccination and actually in other children's vaccines in the past. What I want to speak to about is, first of all, that thimerosal has been removed because there has been such controversy over whether it's been linked at all to the growing rates in autism and children. So it's been removed in most vaccines except for influenza vaccine. And the CDC has a standard that for any child under the age of, I believe, 24 months, but it might be as high as 32, that they're supposed to get a single dose influenza vaccine, which does not contain thimerosal. And it kind of points to the bigger issue that families need to be aware of the sort of risks that exist out there, even though they believe they're really trying to protect their family by giving their child influenza vaccine. And they need to be aware that there are certain risks and what are the safer alternatives, and they have to advocate and be informed to speak with their health care provider and insist that, no, my child needs to have a single dose. I know I have a two-year-old, and I have had to do that very same thing. And I think the unfortunate part of all of this is that we, you know, we should not have to think about it. It should be inherently safe, and we shouldn't have to worry about those kind of risks on top of everything else we worry about day to day. So I think that is really the broader problem of how chemicals actually get introduced into our products, and the limited safety or safety regulation, the limited looking into the safety or toxicity level of that chemical before it's put into a product.
And
it really means that the chemical companies have, you know, have to provide the data. And without the data, they shouldn't have access to market, including health medical devices or anything else.
And that's one of your top five actions is thanks to the Patriot Act, too. They don't have to reveal their information. And Dr. Hersey, there are also scientists at the EPA who are working on chemicals, and they're working on their risk and their hazard to health. But it sounds to me like they're not being listened to by political appointees.
Well, there's a lot to be said on that, in that area. Certainly one of the things that's right now a hot issue is the fact that there is a recommendation from the National Research Council that's been pending now for 2 years for EPA to revisit its drinking water standard for fluoride. The NRC found 2 years ago, reported to EPA 2 years ago, that its drinking water standard was not protecting public health and asked EPA to undertake a new risk assessment. Well, part of the problem with EPA moving expeditiously is that almost simultaneously with that report coming out, there appeared in the peer-review literature a new epidemiology study showing fivefold increase in risk of osteosarcoma, bone cancer, in young boys who drink fluoridated water.
Hmm.
So it's EPA, I've talked to the people in the hallway, including management officials, and they say, well, we're waiting for this other report from someone who is apparently going to try to refute this study, and as it turns out, that they're waiting. This report that they're waiting for is coming from the
industry.
Yeah, well, it's coming from a guy who signed off on the original study, which was done by a PhD student of his, and now he's essentially apparently going to be trying to repudiate this. I mean, the games that get played for protecting toxic chemicals in the U.S. are stunning for those of us who are on the inside and seeing this.
I appreciate how hard you guys have worked. I want to take one more call, and thanks so much for the other callers that might not have gone through, but Kent in Washington, D.C. is calling in. Kent, you've got to be quick here.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My name is Kent. I grew up in a neighborhood called Spring Valley, which turned out to be the birthplace of the Chemical Warfare Service, World War One. We didn't know anything about this growing up. But you know, you're talking about the White House gagging EPA. In addition, we've got the Pentagon, which is gagging the other partners on this project, which are EPA and the District Department of Environment. And, Chris, I appreciate your list of five of the worst violators of the Patriot Act. Has been a problem in Spring Valley because historical files that were declassified under the Clinton administration were reclassified due to this Bush White House memo.
So they're using secrecy as an excuse. I'm sorry to cut you off here, but we're totally out of time, and I want to give folks information on how they can find out more. Kirsten, you're going to have some documents, including the letter you sent to Senators Obama and McCain, on your website on Monday, right?
So, yes,
and
we are.
What would that web address be?
It would be www.psr.org. /top 5.
Okay, but not until Monday, right?
Not until Monday.
Okay, great.
If you go to BSR early, you'll see our sign saying it's coming up on Monday.
And then, Sanford, you have a web address where you've posted one of your films that is sort of an introductory to how people can find out about chemical exposure.
Yes, and they can watch the film online or they can request a DVD there at contaminatedwithoutconsent.org.
That's great. And Dr. Hersey, what can the listeners do to help support you and the EPA scientists? Right there, congresspersons?
Yes, that's certainly one thing, and especially with respect to this outstanding risk assessment on fluoride, is get in touch with your congressional delegations and ask for action by EPA.
That's great. Thanks so much, Dr. William Hersey, Sanford Lewis, Kristen Welker Hood. Chemicals in your body, we're gonna fight this. Listen to the Peter B. Collins Show. When we come back, Brad Blog will be here. He's got a scary trick-or-treat from Virginia he's going to share with us on the Peter B. Collins Show right after this.
For computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618, 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The battered stock market limped to its Friday finish line this afternoon. At the close, the Dow was 127 points lower, but thanks to big rallies earlier, it's up nearly 5% for the week. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus is following developments.
We're seeing a little bit more loosening in this tight credit market. The LIBOR, or rate that banks charge each other for overnight loans in London, this is a major positive because so much of the fear we've seen on Wall Street has been related to this tight credit market. Until the banks start lending to each other, the financial markets can't start rebuilding.
A government report says new home construction fell in September by a much larger than expected 6.3%. Bad for builders, but good for the economy because there's already a glut on the market. The price of gasoline is down dramatically. Troy Green of AAA says the national average is down 81 cents from this time last month.
And Oklahoma has the cheapest gasoline in the country at $2.62, and Alaska remains with the most expensive gasoline at $3.97.
21 states now have averages below $3 a gallon. Barack Obama is defending himself against John McCain's charge that he'll raise most people's taxes. He told a crowd in Roanoke, Virginia today that he'll cut spending with a scalpel.
I'll go through the entire federal budget, line by line, page by page. We will eliminate programs that don't work and aren't needed. And we will start by ending a war in Iraq that's cost us nearly $1 trillion.
McCain's running mate Sarah Palin talked to reporters on her campaign plane this afternoon, defending her attacks on Obama's ties to 60s radical William Ayers.
Calling someone an opponent on their record and even on their associations, it's not mean-spirited, it's not negative campaigning. It's fair to the electorate to have the discussion, the debate about someone's record and associations.
Palin said she's looking forward to appearing on Saturday Night Live.
It'll be fun. You know, the opportunity to show American television watchers anyway, that, you know, you got to have a sense of humor through all of this.
Pfizer, the pharmaceutical giant, says it's reached an agreement to settle most of the personal injury claims stemming from use of the anti-inflammatory Celebrex and the withdrawn drug Bextra. Pfizer will pay $894 million. Another development of the continuing saga of O.J. Simpson. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has the story.
Lawyers for Fred Goldman have gone to court trying to retrieve O.J. Simpson's Hall of Fame ring. Simpson owes the Goldman family millions of dollars. This the result of a civil trial where Simpson was found liable in the murders of Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. A judge here has ordered the former football star not to dispose of the ring. Goldman's lawyers believe Simpson, who was found guilty this month of armed robbery, may be trying to hide the ring. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Fear of an OPEC production cut sent the price of oil higher today. It gained $2. This is CBS News.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I run about four,
maybe five push-ups is all I can do. But for my age, that's
normal is different for everyone. That's why Aetna offers its members wellness solutions for every stage of their health, from fitness programs to information to help manage an illness.
Aetna can help me feel and
stay healthy.
To learn more, go to Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna. Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and its affiliates. Health information programs provide general health information and are not a substitute for diagnosis or treatment by physician or other healthcare professional.
$10? Maybe two cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
CBS's Sam Litzinger has the story of a unique highway project.
Workers in Lancaster, California have begun carving grooves into what's billed as the first musical road in the United States. When you drive over it at 55 miles an hour, the tires act kind of like the needle on a phonograph record, and the road plays the William Tell Overture. Listen closely. This is cool. This was originally done for a Honda commercial, but neighbors got tired of hearing the road music all the time, so the project was moved. I wonder if the highway engineers take requests. Because I'd love to drive on a highway that plays AC/DC tunes. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Thieves have been taking grave markers from cemeteries to cash in on the high price of bronze. In Elizabeth, New Jersey, police are looking for two men who stole a pair of bronze doors from a mausoleum. And a 2.5-ton bronze statue of King David was somehow stolen from a shop in Copenhagen, Denmark, where it was being repaired. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How to properly insulate your wallet. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot and purchase insulation. Step 2. Seal your home and install insulation. It can help save up to 20% on your heating and cooling costs. Step 3. Use the money you save to insulate your wallet.
At the Home Depot, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 products throughout the store to help you get ready for winter, including energy-efficient items like insulation. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
$10? Maybe two cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Smiling faces. Oh, those politicians here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter will be back on Monday. Stephanie Hendricks filling in. And we have some early Halloween scary stories coming out of Virginia with Brad Friedman of Brad Blog. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you? I'm having, by the way, trouble hearing you. I can barely hear you back there.
Oh, boy. Okay, I'll try to speak up. We've been having a little technical issues here. I understand that you were down in L.A. Hosting an election special today on KPFK, the Pacifica station.
I was indeed, and I was happy to speak with the with someone from the California Secretary of State's office about how things are looking here in California, and also someone from Acorn on this unbelievable, and I mean unbelievable, Republican scam that's going on with this Acorn voter fraud nonsense. It is reprehensible, and the comments that John McCain has been making about it have been reprehensible. And, of course, it's having its desired effect. And today we got news that offices, the Acorn offices, are now being broken into, vandalized.
So where's this happening?
Up in Boston, there was a break-in and vandalization. Down in Florida now, we're getting word there as well.
Oh, that's terrible.
So, I mean, these guys, it's incredible. They are willing to do anything and everything, and it's frankly, it's not surprising, you know, given the fact that you've got John McCain going out there in a debate and, you know, alleging, quote, one of the greatest frauds in voter history. That is, what did he say, destroying the fabric of democracy. And he's saying this out loud, presumably with a straight face, when in fact one of the greatest frauds in voter history is what the Republicans are trying to pull off with this Acorn nonsense, which they do, you know, every 2 years, but never have they done it to the extent that they're doing it now. And never have so many of the corporate media, not just the right-wing media, by the way, but CNN, MSNBC, never before have I seen them, you know, be as willing to play along with something that is completely and utterly a fraud in and of itself. It's really remarkable.
Or buy into it. We were talking with Bob Perry just a little earlier in the show about this, that these signs of fascism, you know, yelling kill Obama or kill him, referring to Obama at a Sarah Palin rally, and then there's two young men who get beat up by a horde of Palin little old ladies, and now I'm hearing about break-ins. This must have been what it was like when the Third Reich came into power, when the mobs turned violent in fascism.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I mean, that's the atmosphere that they're fostering right now, and, you know, I don't like to make, you know, comparisons, you know, to play the Hitler card or the KKK card, but I got to tell you, you know, this entire effort is about keeping people from voting, period. And this is what the, you know, what the Ku Klux Klan did. You know, back earlier in the century when they would essentially, you know, they gave African Americans the right to vote. And so the way that these guys dealt with it was by going out and keeping those folks from voting. And in fact, you know, people have been murdered in this process, and civil rights workers have been murdered going down to Mississippi to register folks to vote.
And this was the point, John Lewis.
All of these decades now later, and we're still seeing the same remnants of this stuff, where the idea is keep legal voters from voting, that's the way to win elections, and to get them worked up, ginned up, so that they do turn violent. I'm quite concerned about what may happen between now and November 4th, and I suspect, as I've told Peter many a week now, as we've come together to talk on this, I suspect we're going to see some serious problems on election day, particularly when folks show up and find they're no longer on the voting rolls. That's on the Democratic side, and on the Republican side, all it takes is for, you know, a Drudge report or a Fox News report or a Rush Limbaugh report to go out. They're all the same, you know, claiming there's some sort of voter fraud going on here or there, and things could get ugly very, very fast.
Well, and then there are all the people who are losing their homes, who then are knocked off the rolls because they're told they don't have a permanent residence and there's not time to establish that and time to vote. So it is a really, really crazy thing. Speaking of crazy things, there's the scare tactics that you've got on your blog today about Virginia Republican Party. Tell the listeners what they're doing to scare voters there.
Oh, the Virginia Republican Party, yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And they put out a mailer this week an absentee ballot request mailer that they send to Republicans. You fill it out, you send it in, and you know you're supposed to get a an absentee ballot. They're comparing. They seem to be comparing. They talk about appeasement is not a policy and blah blah blah, and they seem to be Democrats to Kim Jong Il, to Ahmadinejad,
to terrorists,
Chavez down in Venezuela, to Putin. On the back of the postcard that you send in, it has a picture that says, "We need to look evil in the eyes without flinching." And there's a photograph of what appeared, at least to my eyes and to many voters in Virginia who had sent this to me, appears to be the eyes of Barack Obama. Now, later we were able to find the picture, and it's not Barack Obama's eyes, apparently, but rather Osama bin Laden's eyes.
Oh.
But it's hard to tell. They seem to have morphed it together. They've tinted it. So that it's brown, and, you know, it really looks like they're calling Barack Obama evil and saying, you know, stand up to evil. And mind you, they hadn't mentioned bin Laden in the thing at all, so bin Laden doesn't even occur to you because they talk about appeasement and they say the Democrats want to, you know, sit down without preconditions with these terrible people and all this nonsense.
You mean talk instead of bomb?
What's that?
You mean talk instead of bomb?
I'm still having trouble hearing you.
Oh.
If Nick can pot you up a bit, it'd be easier.
Okay, I'll try to speak up a little bit more. I'm just saying that the Republicans, this propaganda that you're describing is sort of criticizing Obama from wanting to actually talk with people we have conflict with rather than bomb them first, you know.
Well, yeah, that's right. But they're, you know, they're not doing it on. They're doing it dishonestly. They're using scare tactics to do it. They're not saying, you know, we disagree. And by the way, you know, what I've never heard any reporter ask to a John McCain or especially to a Sarah Palin. Of course, you don't get to ask her many questions. But I would like to say, well, what is a precondition?
Right. That's
because,
a good question.
You know, I bet they don't even have a clue what they're talking about. You know, what are these preconditions, you know, without which they would never meet with these people? So, you know, it's a scam. They're holding on to whatever they can. They're trying to scare the hell out of people. In New York, by the way, recently, absentee ballots went out with Barack Osama on the ballot.
Oh, no, I didn't hear about that. Oh,
yeah, Rensselaer County, New York. You've got the Sacramento GOP official Republican Party website in Sacramento has graphics on there comparing Obama to Osama. What's the difference between Obama and Osama? BS or something like that. And then it says waterboard Obama.
Oh, my gosh. This is the
Republican Party website.
That's in Sacramento, California.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. That's really stunning, even to me.
You know, they wonder why people start, you know, shouting terrorist and killer, you know, at these rallies of John McCain's and Sarah Palin's. You wonder why folks feel like they need to take things into their own hands and break into Acorn headquarters, you know, despite the fact that I wrote about this this week at Brad Blog and at the Guardian UK, despite the fact that there is not a single case of voter fraud related to Acorn, not one. And the Republicans have been continuing to make that charge. John McCain made that charge. And happily today, Barack Obama finally stood up, had his general counsel gave a telephone press conference. They sent a 7-page letter to Attorney General Mukasey and demanded that they investigate what's going on here and whether or not federal law enforcement is being used to forward this phony voter fraud nonsense. Remember, this phony voter fraud nonsense, specifically against Acorn, is at the very heart of the U.S. attorney purge, and that's why a number of those U.S. attorneys were pushed out. The Republican
That's right.
U.S. attorneys were pushed out because they would not prosecute phony cases of voter fraud, the same type of cases that they're bringing up right now before the 08 election they had brought up in 2004 as well.
It seems like this is a very strategic move that someone has orchestrated and a plan that's gone along all. And we just talked about this earlier in the show, that ACORN is a reputable organization doing good things in the community, especially now when unemployment is up and jobs are scarce. They're trying to help communities hold together. So to attack them like this is really racist. I mean, there's just nothing. And, you know, I'm so glad you're here, Brad, because we were talking about how few white progressive voices were standing up to this. And here you are, so thank you.
Well,
thank you for getting the word out.
Well, I'll tell you, when I saw this coming, and I've been writing about this and these attacks against ACORN, and you're right, it is a concerted and very well-funded effort that goes all the way back to, elections certainly going back through 2004, but right after the 2004 election, the Republicans put together a bunch of phony voting rights groups that started putting out this propaganda about ACORN.
The phony front groups. You know, hold that thought, Brad. We've got to go to break, as I'm sure you know. And we're talking with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll be right back after this.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
I'm Todd Hornick, candidate for Monterey Superior Court Judge. As a Monterey prosecutor, I have worked locally to protect the safety of our community since 1994, and I will continue to do so as your next Superior Court Judge. I am proud to ask you to join me, along with Monterey County mayors, councilmen, firefighters, labor unions, gang enforcement officers, bailiffs, and investigators in selecting local experience for our local courts. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
On July 1st, Carmel's beloved cartoonist Bill Bates had a heart attack. He's been in intensive care for months. The good news is Bill's beginning to recover. But Bill and his family face a long, hard pull ahead, and they need our spiritual and financial support. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please send a check made out to Friends of Bill Bates at P.O. Box 146, Carmel, 93921.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA traffic report. We are continuing to monitor the fire in King City on Highway 198 just east of Griffin Road. The fire is on the right shoulder to the westbound side of the 198. The fire is very close to the roadway and smoke is slowing traffic. Also in King City, on northbound 101, just south of Central Avenue, we have a traffic hazard. A CHP cruiser is on the way. Here's your weather forecast for tonight. Patchy low clouds in the evening, then widespread low clouds and fog areas of smoke through the night. Lows in the lower 50s, south winds around 5 miles per hour. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
The Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Stephanie Hendricks, and our guest this hour is Brad Freeman of BradBlog.com, talking about the Obama and McCain debates and stirring up the sort of grassroots fascism, is what I call it. And we welcome now Larry Bensky, political commentator and pundit, who's covered a lot of elections, a lot of debates. Larry, what do you think was the strangest, craziest, most bizarre thing that you've heard of so far here going on?
In my entire career covering
what? No. With the Obama-McCain versus, you know, I don't know, it's like big-time wrestling kind of at this point.
Well, this nonsense about Joe the Plumber is really off the hook. This guy who was pretty clearly a plant being set up to try to antagonize Obama, who turns out to be not at all what he said he was, who turns out to be exactly the kind of person who Obama's politics would help, and who is being made into some sort of iconic figure by the Palin wing of the Paleonific, I think is what I call them, Paleonifics, like Paleolithic wing of the Republican Party, and now is being dragged apparently to Washington to appear on talk shows this weekend when the guy clearly can't even pay his bills or his taxes for that matter.
He's got a lien on his house, I understand.
On his house. He doesn't have a plumbing license. He's just some guy trying to get along who happens to have been, it seems, indoctrinated into right-wing political ideology by listening too much to Rush Limbaugh and people like that, and is now, just like Sarah Palin, way over his head. But the desperate attempt of the McCain campaign to try to make him into some sort of iconic everyman against Barack Obama's supposed elitist tendencies is really pretty wacky.
So Larry, I would like to hear what you think, Brad Friedman. We were just talking about the it seems to be an orchestrated, very strategic, deliberate attempt now to be purging the voter rolls of people of color, of African Americans in particular, as evidenced by this attack on Acorn. And I just wondered, you know, do you think that there's Karl Rove is sitting in a dark room somewhere with Dick Cheney, and they're plotting out these bizarre, you know, scenarios like the Joe Plumber business?
Are they sitting in a dark room somewhere? No, I think he's sitting in a dark bar somewhere, ordering up as much as they can, as fast as they can. It isn't going to make any difference. There are always going to be election irregularities when you get 140 million people trying to vote or voting. The system in this country is tremendously imperfect. It's a scandal that it is, but there are now 9 states where Barack Obama has fairly significant leads over John McCain, states that George Bush carried in 2004. It would take fraud on such an unprecedentedly massive scale. And I must say, as somebody who, as you know, covered Ohio in the last campaign and went there three times, and did a lot of broadcasts for Pacifica Radio from there, it would take the complicity this time of the Obama campaign in their own defeat, just as it took a complicity on the Kerry campaign in their own defeat, and of the Gore campaign in their own defeat in 2000. I don't think that's who Barack Obama is. I think the Democrats know that some of this stuff is coming down the pike, but it would have to be so massive this time because there's so much momentum in Obama's direction that I don't think it's going to be significant.
What's your take on that, Brad?
I want to jump in there. And hey, Larry, how are you? Good talk to you. I was holding down the fort at Pacifica in L.A. today. Happy to do it. I think what has been obscured by this Acorn story is a very serious concern that I think can have a very serious effect, and that's been reported by the New York Times now and the CBS News, and today in Rolling Stone by Bobby Kennedy and Greg Palast, massive voter roll purges that are going on in dozens of states. Now, there was a big victory today. Jennifer Brunner took it all the way to the Supreme Court in Ohio, the Secretary of State out there. She won, but this purging of voter rolls illegally, we're finding tens of thousands of voters who I'm afraid are going to show up on Election Day, find they're not on the rolls at all, and we may have a meltdown at the polls because
where,
of it, and that could have a very serious effect.
Where are you talking?
Well, you know, Larry,
I wouldn't be breathing easy if I were Obama right now. And frankly, though he is quite savvy, I have been quite mystified. Though they finally stood up today to fight back against this Acorn nonsense, you know, a few weeks ago in Pennsylvania, the Secretary of State said no paper ballots need to be given out unless every machine in a precinct breaks down. And that's a Democratic Secretary of State, and we know how these machines have broken down in the primary. So, I don't want to underestimate, if you will, the dangers that still lie out there. And I would like to see an Obama and a Democratic Party that are a little bit more aggressive in fighting back in favor of the voters here.
Well, and Larry, you ask where. I mean, in this new Rolling Stone article coming out that Greg Palast and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. collaborated on, apparently Colorado is one place. I guess the Colorado Republican Secretaries of State purged 1 in 6 names from their voter rolls. I mean, they did quite a comprehensive research into this. And, you know, you guys, you're going to have to hold that thought because we have to go take a break. And we're listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com and Larry Bensky. And this is the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be right back, and we'll be taking your calls. So call 888-5B, 888-5-PETER-B. That's what it is, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by Friends of Bill Monning.
Okay, it's star time. Set the sonic transducer on Program 8!
Program 8!
Secure all levels at zero!
Zero! My feet! I can't move my feet!
It's as if we're glued to the spot!
You are, so quake with fear, you tiny fools!
The Paper Wing Theater Company proudly presents the Rocky Horror Show, playing October 29th through November 1st in New Monterey at 320 Hoffman Avenue. Don't miss the final presentation of the rock and roll audience participation favorite, playing for 6 shows only with special Halloween and Saturday midnight shows. Come in costume and bring your friends. Call 675-0521 for tickets and info. That's 675-0521. Tickets are going fast, so don't miss this award-winning presentation of the Rocky Horror Show. Call 675-0521 now.
You better believe it, baby.
Get Rocky Horror tickets now by calling 675-0521.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's a pizza paradise where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
The Pointer Sisters. Wish we had time to listen to them, but we want to hear from our guests. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. Stephanie Hendricks filling in, and our guest this hour, Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com and political commentator Larry Binsky. I want to point out to our listeners that if you want to learn more about Brad Friedman's work, we have some DVDs available for a few of you callers calling in, and so we'd love to hear from you. It's called Murder Spies and Voting Lies. I like the title there. Brad, it's really
thank
fun.
You. It's not mine. It's Patty Sheriff, the filmmakers. But I obviously play a key role in this story. It's the Clint Curtis, Tom Feeney vote rigging scandal. The full story, told for the first time, and as well the B storyline, if you will. My attempts to investigate and report on this story over the last 4 years to a terrified and otherwise disinterested corporate media.
Well, you know, some of Peter's listeners, I'm sure, have heard this story before, but for those of them just tuning in, can you give us a little recap?
Sure. Clint Curtis is the Florida software programmer. He was a Republican back in 2000, and he alleges he was asked by Congressman Tom Feeney. He's now a congressman. He was then the Speaker of the Florida House, that he was asked to create vote-rigging software for touchscreen voting machines back in 2000. And Curtis has testified to Congress about this. He's filed an affidavit. He's passed a lie detector test. It's an extraordinary story and a terrifying one because it shows just how easy, frankly, it is to game these electronic voting systems without detection. And further, at the heart of this story, you've got some pretty scary stuff, like the Florida Inspector General, who suddenly died under very, very terrifying circumstances in a Valdosta, Georgia motel room as he was about to release his report on this matter. Clint Curtis's dog was shot on the day that I broke the story. I had helped him get up to Washington, D.C. to give testimony to John Conyers on this, and we got word that his dog was shot down in Florida. There are Chinese spies at the heart of this thing, and one real, real dirty congressman by the name of Tom Feeney, who's in the fight of his life down there right now, because he was also involved in the Jack Abramoff scandal, having flown to play golf in Scotland on a junket paid for by Jack Abramoff. So
Wow. It's
a terrifying story. People can check it out at votinglies.com. The reviews have been remarkable that have come out so far, so I hope people will check it out.
Well, and we have about 10 copies of this DVD for folks calling in at 888-573-8255. 8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. We'd love to hear your comments for Brad and Larry Binsky. It just stuns me that the corruption that we saw in the 2000 election, the 2004 election, and now echoes of the same going on around, and it seems like the corporate media is anesthetized, and it also seems like the general American culture, you know, Bill Maher calls us the United States of stupid, and so it's hard to disagree with him on that. What do you guys think? Is there any hope?
I will disagree. We're not stupid. The American people are not stupid. They are misinformed, underinformed by a corporate media who has a constitutional responsibility as the only protected industry in the Constitution, actually named and given protections. They have responsibility to the American people. They have utterly failed in that duty, in that effort. We expect the bad guys to get away with it when they can, but that's why we need the Fourth Estate. That's why we have the media. And the fact that they have not shown up to play over the last 8 years and even now are not showing up to play is what's gotten us in this mess.
What do you think, Larry? Are we dumb? You lived in France for a long time. It seems like you ran away, but you came back.
That was in the 60s. And I often ask myself, would I have been better off not coming back? Despite all of this, Barack Obama is going to win probably by a landslide. The Democrats are going to have 56, 57, 58, possibly 60 seats in the Senate. They're going to have as many as 245, maybe 250 seats in the House of Representatives. What I focus on more are the policies of the parties and of the implementation possibilities and the welfare of the general public of the United States, not their alleged stupidity or lack thereof, and not the corruption and lack of integrity in the mass media, which is a given, and we can whine and scream about it all we want, but it isn't going to change anytime soon, if ever. What I think is that Barack Obama has run a very successful campaign, also aided by a tremendous coup of fortune. It's not the fortune of the people of the United States, just an electoral happenstance that the financial structure of crony corrupt capitalism has collapsed at exactly the right time for him to take advantage of it. And so what we're going to see now that interests me is somebody who's been studying elections and somebody who teaches political science in college and has done a lot of radio work in the past. What interests me right now is, can the Democratic Party have any kind of unified, coherent approach that will actually help the people in the United States that need help? And I'm far from convinced that they have.
Go ahead, Larry.
I just said I'm far from convinced that they have such a program or are unified enough to implement it, despite what I think is going to be their overwhelming electoral advantage in Washington on Capitol Hill as well as in the White House.
Well, by the way,
I'm more than happy to agree with Larry.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, boy, that's great. You know, we have so many calls, you guys. What you're saying is resonating with a lot of Peter's listeners. And we have calling in from Eureka. We have, I believe it's Dave. Dave, are you there? Hey, Dave. Are you still there?
Hey.
Hey, what's going up in Eureka, and what do you want to say to Brad and Larry?
Would you believe that our Democratic headquarters is going to be airing Uncounted? They're going to be doing it tomorrow evening, and they're waking up to the reality of it all.
At the Democratic headquarters?
Right, at the Democratic headquarters, and they're airing it like they know what they're talking about.
Good for them. It's a terrific film, and God bless them for paying attention and for showing that. I think it's great. Have you seen it yet, Dave?
No, but I'm going to.
Great. You're going to love it, even though I'm in it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Wow.
Maybe I'll hang on and see if we get an extra one of the discs you're talking about tonight.
Oh, definitely need to give a Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies to Dave. He's great, calls in every week. If you got one, let's get him one.
Good for you guys up in Eureka. We go now up to Coos Bay, Oregon, with Mildred. Hey, Mildred.
Hi. I have a real concern about Barack Obama and discussing all the voting, election protection stuff, which is wonderful, and I hope it works. I'm real concerned about Obama being assassinated, either before the election occurs, if his stats are really high and it's a landslide, or after the election. I'm not a person that worries a lot, but with all the prejudice and all the junk that's been going on in Palin's, meetings with Republicans and the threats and all of that stuff, it really, really concerns me. And it seems like they have put election fraud, from what I'm hearing, in higher gear than it was 4 years ago. So I'm wondering, is the Obama camp, are they seeing that he's being protected and that it is sufficient? And are people really looking at that?
Mildred, we're going to have to take give your answer off the air, because technically we can only have two phones on the air at one time here. So, Brad,
that's fine. I'll get online.
Thanks for calling. Brad, what do you have to say about that? Do you think that there's sufficient protection?
I certainly hope they are. There were some concerns early during the campaign that the Secret Service was, in fact, only screening the first few thousand folks who showed up at some of these rallies, and then they weren't screening the rest. That was a serious concern. Of course, everyone's concerned about that. Everyone except maybe Barack Obama, who I got to give him credit. You know, he's been pretty cool as a cucumber under all of this stress. So I've been quite impressed on that regard. And frankly, I'm nonpartisan when it comes to this presidential election, but I have been impressed with the way he's handled all this.
So, Larry, you've covered the major assassinations of key leaders in our country. Are you concerned about this? Do you think that there could be a real risk to Senator Obama's life right now?
Of course I'm concerned about it. There are two firearms in the hands of two firearms for every citizen of the United States in private hands in this country, an overwhelming percentage of whom behave responsibly. But it doesn't take more than one lone, deranged person to change that. Barack Obama received Secret Service protection earlier than any other candidate, I believe, in history, in August of 2007. And I was broadcasting from the Invesco Field in Denver recently at the Democratic Convention, with 85,000 people in the stands. They had to go through security checks and lines for 2 and 3 hours to get into that stadium, and it was barely full because of the security checks by the time he started speaking, 3, 4, 5 hours after people had started coming in. A lone nut can defeat the most audacious and perceptive security. You can't run your life as a candidate and be afraid of that, but I think it's a definite concern in this country, given this nation's history and propensity towards firearm ownership and the absolute laxity of controls over who has what.
Yeah, I was covering the convention in Denver as well, both at the Pepsi Center and Invesco Field, and the security there was certainly extraordinary, bordering on maddening sometimes. But I guess, when you've got an event like that, you can plan in advance. Probably a little bit more difficult for these rallies that are announced, quickly. But good Lord, I certainly hope they're doing their job. They seem to be, from what I can tell, at least they were in Denver, for sure.
I'd like to go to Santa Cruz. I like Santa Cruz. My daughter's in school down there, and we're going to hear from William. William, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello. Hi. What I wanted to say might segue more with Larry's side of the discussion as opposed to voting rights sort of side of the discussion, although it is kind of pertains to everything. But since it looks like there's a good chance that we might win, we need to define our agenda. What do we want? And I've got some constitutional amendments here. I want to see the Obama and a new America implement after November 4th or after January 20th. One constitutional amendment is no corporate personhood. Have to have a constitutional amendment to state that corporations are not people, that individuals...
We're not used to taking this many calls.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. We're listening. Those are your main two?
That's mm-hmm. one. Okay, mm-hmm. No corporate personhood. And mm-hmm. then concerning presidential signing statements, we got to right that wrong, that mm-hmm. The legislation the president is signing in matters of law preempts the signing statement in terms of determining the law.
Right.
That the legislation, as he signed it, and without his statement. And then because the newspapers, it was mentioned earlier, are mentioned in the Constitution, we need a distinction between news and opinion. I don't know if that should be done through the Congress in terms of saying that your free First Amendment rights are under the heading of opinion, but under the heading of news, there is a definition of news, and you can't just say any old thing in a news program if that's the category of broadcast.
Shaky ground there, William. You gotta hold that thought, because we have to get ready to go to a break. Our guest this hour are Brad Friedman from Brad Bogart. PeterBCollins.com and political commentator Larry Bensky. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll be right back after this.
Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. In King City, we are still keeping our eye on the fire on Highway 198 just east of Griffin Road. The fire is located on the right shoulder to the westbound side of the 198. The 198 is completely open this time and moving in both directions. On Carpinteria Road at Aromas Road, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the way. Now for our Central Coast forecast. Tonight we have low clouds in the evening, then widespread low clouds and fog. Areas of smoke through the night, lows in the lower 50s, south winds around 5 miles per hour. On Saturday there will be widespread low clouds and fog in the morning, then partly cloudy. Areas of smoke in the morning, highs in the mid-60s to lower 70s. That's your weather and traffic on AM 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia from the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore. Our environment here on the beautiful Central Coast is an intricate, vital system teeming with life. At Pilgrim's Way, awareness of the natural world has motivated us to expand our vision about community. Our mission? To educate, empower, inspire, and enliven. Think community. Think Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden, your resource for conscious living. Between 5th and 6th on Dolores in Carmel, call 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Baby, quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs. Conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. 8004. A friend is waiting.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County Judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
And welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got a few minutes left with Brad Friedman from Brad Block and political commentator Larry Bensky. I want to take a caller from Monterey. Mary Ann has a question for you guys.
Hi. I'd like to ask Brad, what is the best way for me to put my absentee ballot? Is it in the mail or at the post office or city hall or what?
Well, if you have to vote on absentee, and I don't recommend it, if you can vote on election day on a paper ballot at the polls, that's the best way, the best chance you have of getting that vote counted and counted correctly. But if you've already got an absentee ballot, you can, here in California, now check with your county, but you should be able to bring that absentee ballot into the polling place or the county. The polling place is the best place. If you can do it there, do it on election day. That's much better than dropping it in the mail and hoping that it arrives and hoping that it gets counted and so on and so forth.
You know, I think that a lot of Peter's listeners are really action-oriented, and I've heard of folks that are actually driving out to register people to vote, but they're also planning on returning to some areas with people to drive them to the polls, and I wondered if that was behavior that either of you encourage, or if you think it'll make a difference at all.
Well, I can tell you that personal contact is the most effective means of persuasion in electoralism, you know, these robocalls and emails and your mailbox stuffed full of propositions and advocacy of candidates and opposition and all of that, that changes 1, 2, or 3% of the people who get it if they're lucky. When you study these things have been studied thoroughly, door-to-door calls, knocking on your neighbor's doors or people wherever you're going to work to either convince them to register to vote or come out to vote or support your candidate or issue, that can change as much as 12 to 15% of the people you come into touch with. So anybody out there who's an activist and who wants to get involved on whatever issue for whatever candidate, you need to contact some local headquarters and get your marching orders. But you also need to know what you're doing. You know, I know a lot of people here where I live in Northern California are going to Nevada because it's a swing state, although it's turning a little more towards Obama recently, and they're going to find themselves in some very difficult circumstances different from their normal lives, and they have to realize that they're going to be talking to people that don't usually talk to people like them and have to get to figure out how to do that. So, yeah, I would definitely encourage people who want to get involved in this to get involved on the personal level of going door to door and doing whatever you're going to do.
This is and I will agree with Larry, I think the one thing we've learned over the last few years is democracy is not a spectator sport.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to get involved, and, you know, I'm concerned, and I don't come at it from a partisan direction, as I said. You know, I want every legal voter to be able to vote and, you know, vote and have that vote counted as per their intent. And remember, we've got more than just the presidential race here. We've got 435 House races, 30-something Senate races, all kinds of state and local races. So, you know, it's a participatory democracy. So, yes, participate any way that you can in this process. Don't sit back this time and wait for the magical election fairy to deliver the results at the end of the night and then, you know, be disappointed in what you find. You want to take your democracy back, you got to take action.
And the one thing I would recommend people doing is going on the web, if they can, and looking at a new video documentary called Torturing Democracy, which a lot of television stations are going to be broadcasting around the country, although PBS refused to distribute it to everyone. And I'm sad to say that our local big television station here, KQED, has no schedule to broadcast it. But you can watch it online, Torturing Democracy, torturingdemocracy.org. If you're not motivated to get out there and do something about what's going on in this country, in this world, yet, I guarantee you will be after watching this documentary.
That's great. Those are great, great tips, you guys. We have, let's see, oh, we don't have a caller on there, but he wants to know about the stamps for ballots. No? Go ahead, Nick. You can talk. You're part of the show. This is Nick, our engineer, who's been doing a great job today because we've had some technical difficulties.
Charles from Monterey was wondering, or was actually just commenting, and he wanted everyone to know that to send out the ballots, it costs 59 cents. So that's a little different than it's been in the past.
Thanks, Nick. Nick's been working like crazy here. Well, it's time to become educated and educated on our local issues. And one thing that I try to do, which is really tough and it takes a lot of work, is that I try to see who the campaign contributors are to people I'm voting for. It's a little tough to find on a local level, but there are the Secretary of State of California certainly keeps track of state legislators' campaign contributions. Do you guys have any tips for finding out who funds you know, county and municipal elections to see, you know, who's pushing folks forward?
It's very difficult. You really have to spend a lot of time researching. It's possible. Any search engine, if you plug in, you know, for example, here in California, Proposition 8 plus funding, yes on 8 plus funding, no on 8 plus funding, you'll come up with more stuff than you can read from now to Election Day.
How about you, Brad? Do you have any tips for folks on finding out who's pushing, what the powers are that are pushing their local politicians?
Actually, Secretary of State Deborah Bowen has really taken the lead in this area as far as trying to get transparency on these initiatives. You can find stuff out about the initiatives, who are supporting them, at the Secretary of State's website. Not enough, though. I concur.
and there needs to be more transparency there. She has been pushing for more transparency, particularly on these initiative, the petitions, and the folks that are out there signing people up, and often deceptively. She's been working very hard on that score. But yeah, you really got to work for it. But again, you know, democracy is a participatory process, not a passive one.
Well, I want to thank both you guys for being here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman, you're a regular, and people should check out your bradblog.com. Let's say that fast 5 times. And Larry Finsky can be heard from time to time on Pacifica Radio, and also maybe he'll be popping up other places, maybe here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You'll never know. Thank you guys for being with us.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure to be on the radio with the next Rachel Maddow.
Oh, flattery will get you everywhere, Larry Finsky. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie, and thanks. Great talking to you, Larry.
Yeah.
Bye.
See you guys. It's been fun hanging out with the Peter B. Collins listeners. I'm Stephanie Hendricks, and I want to thank Peter B. Collins and Katrina Real, the producer, for allowing me the honor of hanging out with you guys. Peter will be back on Monday. Engineer Nick Tanum has been here, and you actually got to hear his voice. And I just wanted to point out that no matter how big these problems of our nation are, I want you to remember this, that you do make a difference. You can make a difference with the dollars you spend and where you have spend them, and the joining your voice to those of us that speak truth to power. So hang in there. Keep listening to Peter B. Collins. Take care, and God bless.
All program.
The radio cast on pirate satellites, orbiting your living, cashing in the Bill of Rights, human army surplus or refusing of the life. Radio cast on pirate satellites. Yeah. Think
an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618, 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. 19 days till the election, and Barack Obama's main problem may be keeping his supporters from getting overconfident.
We've got to keep fighting for every vote. We've got to keep running through the finish line. This election's too important. We can't take anything for granted.
But he's way ahead in the polls. He's being endorsed by many major newspapers, and CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says John McCain's challenge is daunting.
McCain has got to win all 18 states where he is the heavy favorite, plus all of the 8 states we now believe are toss-ups, but that still won't get him to the 270 electoral votes he needs to win. To do that, he has also got to win 2 of the states that are now leaning to Obama, say Colorado and New Mexico.
At a rally in Melbourne, Florida, McCain said he got in touch with Joe the Plumber.
I talked to him on this morning for the first time ever, and I want to tell you his spirits are good and he's a tough guy. He's what small business people all over this country are about. They're tough and they're good and they want to get ahead and they want to keep their money.
If Obama's elected, he says, hold on to your wallet. That's good advice on Wall Street, too. Today, the Dow had a swing of nearly 600 points before closing 127 points lower. But for the week, it's up almost 5%. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says there's cautious optimism that the worst of the credit crisis is over.
For the second day in a row now, we're finally getting some good news on the credit markets, and that is that a key interest rate continues to drop little by little, which means that interlending among the banks is going to get easier, so that frozen credit market is slowly beginning to thaw.
With so many homes on the market, there's little point in building more. The government says new home construction fell 6.3% in September.
The builders have to cut back on starts of new units, and they're really doing it.
Dave Siders is chief economist at the National Association of Home Builders.
We're certainly going to be seeing further declines in construction employment. That's been falling since the early part of 2006. So housing has been at the heart of this economic downswing and still is.
One of Motown's biggest stars died today. CBS's Sam Litzinger has his story.